Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first Big Brother Roundtable podcast for Big Brother 23. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds. With me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I feel like this roundtable couldn't come soon enough. I honestly, like, this whole weekend, this whole, like, I guess back half of the week, I've been like, this is crazy. This is so exciting, so fun. These feeds have been so wild. I mean, I love how we have first week feeds. I feel like for a lot of the time, like, we don't know what happened and we're just putting the pieces together by this point in time. But this year we know what's going on, and it's, I mean, I feel like we know what's going on because we've seen it, but also, like, I have literally no idea what's going on because, like, everything is crazy right now. So, yeah, it's been very, 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 very fun. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. Also with me is Aman. Aman, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited to be back for yet another round table. Excited to rate these bitches for all that they're worth. This has been a fantastic week of feeds. You know, you give us a little bit of everything. Some joy, some anger, some salacious material, lots of stuff. Variety. I consider it the variety show of Big Brother live feed. So I'm excited. Had a great time.
Yes. I think the question on everyone's mind, Aman.
The answer is no.
Is it no? Really? Because my question was how, you know, like, has it passed? Did it pass okay?
Okay. I don't know if that's the question on everybody's mind.
Are you okay? Is the chapstick lodged in your stomach somewhere?
I have since been okay. I actually lost like 2 pounds because of the whole ordeal. So I guess if anyone's looking for any weight loss tips, don't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's not pass out weight loss tips on this podcast.
All right. For those that do not know what we're talking about, you're clearly out of the loop. You did not watch Big Brother Canada. Aman had some hot takes. He backed up those hot takes with chapstick. Said that he would eat a chapstick if he was wrong, and then he was wrong. So he,
you know, this
chapstick
is like that. This is like that moment on the Oscars when Ellen hosted and she was like, okay, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, I'm not going to mention the fact that last year you fell. Mm. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, last year, Jennifer Lawrence fell at the Oscars. But thank you, Taryn. Thank you so much for the reminder.
I just figured, you know, it would just, it would be the elephant.
The same.
Yeah, it would be the elephant in the room eating a chapstick if we didn't mention it. So,
all the more reason for people to watch BB Can.
Exactly. Yay. Now that we have that out of the way here, we are here going to talk about the week on the feeds for Big Brother 23, the first week of feeds here. And genuinely, from night one, we have seen it all. Although there have been quite a lot of feed outages, not anything that seems particularly important, but just in general, it's feeling a lot more Big Brother Canada than Big Brother US, which I think is kind of the direction that we've been going to, or toward, since last season.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on here. I mean, granted, this is the first live move-in with newbies. You know, they're learning the ropes, so it looks like they're trying to, maybe they're doing it to protect them a little bit more, or maybe there's like an entirely new staff over there that's also learning the ropes. I don't know. It's because I still feel like some stuff gets out and lets slip. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there like a 4-minute delay anyway so that they can preemptively cut the feeds if anything controversial comes up?
Yeah, they're not great at this. I feel like this is just something that they don't want to, I guess, hire too many people to do. I don't know what the, like, they don't invest a lot of budget into the, whether the feeds are on or not. And they don't cut nearly as much as they should in some parts. And then they overcut in lots of other places. And it's just very strange. And, you know, they don't do a great job.
I wish that we could just find an anonymous person that works for Big Brother, and not Spoiler Girl, not Vegas for sure, none of those hoes. I want to know someone who's like deep in the trenches, you know, just DM me sometime and just let me know, like, what's the tea when there are just random feed outages? Like right now, when they're all getting ready for a toga party, the feeds are off. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? They're not doing anything. They're just dressing themselves in blankets. Why can't we see that?
Whoever's in charge just finds it too scandalous, I guess. It's,
I guess so.
Not okay. Not okay. all right. So, so far, this has been, as Melissa pointed out, a wild ride here. I think we're all very excited with the start of this season. We came off of Big Brother Canada 9. Which was a great season, pretty much all the way through, maybe like one dud week, in there, like in total, which is, it's pretty unheard of. And there has been a lot of talk of this being a new era, of Big Brother. There's a new, you know, casting mandate. There's a new casting director. And a lot of talk, a lot of promises from Rich and Allison about like, hey, you know, we don't want big alliances to steamroll. We know what the fans want. We're going to change things up and make sure things go the right way. And so far, so good. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly like the twists that they've implemented that has been doing this, but the casting so far has been pretty spot on here. Great cast. A couple of people that I'm not too fond of, but like, hey, so you got to be not fond of some people, right? I guess. Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, honestly, like when they were trying to figure out nominees for the first week, I was like, I don't want anybody to go home. I want everyone to stay. Now I've kind of, you know, I'm okay with a couple people going. But in the beginning, I was like, I don't want anyone to go. Like, this is so sad. I like could not think of like a good replacement nominee or even just nominees to go up. I was like, it just, I don't want anyone to go. You know, obviously things have changed a little bit. But you know what? Like, at the same time, it's fun to have people to root against as well. Like, I know it's like you don't, it, as long as they're not like, you know, actively like harming other people on the feed or like being like, you know, problematic, if we'll say that. Like if they're just like, you know, on the other side of the house and they're like the villain character or whatever, like I'm fine with keeping them around a little bit longer. I just know that, you know, when in Big Brother 16, when Devin was like a terror in the beginning, like with his whole HOH reign, it was like we were like, get him out, and everyone was like cheering when he lost the veto, and everything was, you know, everyone was so pumped, and then he got out and it was like, oh, okay, well now what, you know? So it's kind of like, as much as like, and I'll be honest, I'm talking about Frenchie here, as much as it's like I'm so irritated with Frenchie, and I'm just like I like cannot stand some of the things that he's doing, like if we just got him out next week, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe we would miss something in terms of like having someone to root against moving forward. Now, that's not to say that, you know, I love Frenchie by any means. I think that he's Oh man, he's been real bad. He's not only been like playing such a horrible game, but like the way he's doing it is so awful. And like to then sit there and like lecture Derek X about like how he's like, oh, you just played too hard, too fast. You just played too fast. It's like, what the heck do you think you've been doing this whole time? Like you've been playing so terribly. So, you know, it's been frustrating, but fun.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we've seen here in the first week so far and get you guys caught up. There's honestly so much to discuss.
Oh my God.
Where do you begin?
We're gonna have to sort of cut it to honestly what you're likely to see in the episodes, or at least maybe a little bit more detailed, and then we'll get into the state of the house and try to explain where people stand. We're not going to get too far in the weeds of all the different circles that went around in the last 6 days, but obviously we saw on night one that Frenchie won the first HOH of the season. Very powerful position to be in if you handle it well. And I think we're learning, even if you don't handle it well, it can go pretty well for you. Or at least it can. He is going to immediately promise all of the women and the people of color that he will not nominate any of them. That he has a goal, and that's to not have this season start with a person of color or woman being evicted this week. And he does eventually get around to there, but only because of all of the pressure and threats. He didn't even want to do it, which we'll get to.
This whole thing, this whole Frenchie thing is so performative. It's like, it's one thing to be like, I don't know, it's one thing to not really mention it, but kind of be like, no, like I'm an ally or whatever, like if anyone brings it up. But like he was all about like, I'm an ally, I'm a member of the NAACP, like blah, 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 blah. Like I'm all about women and people of color and I want them to win and they don't have a fair shake and blah, blah, blah. And it's like all of that was a performance. Like I'm not sitting there saying that like he's the exact opposite of that, but it's just, it really, I don't think he actually cared about any of the stuff that he like preached about coming into the house. Like, I don't think that that's actually something he cared about. I think that he was playing to Twitter. And I think this whole time he plays to Twitter, like he wants, I think that he just wants to be seen that way. And I know that you guys mentioned this on an update that like, it's all about Frenchie. And I do think it is about Frenchie. I think it's that he wants to be seen as this person that he's like putting out there as him, as that's who I am, but really that's not actually who he is.
Well, good luck.
I don't know. It's
lactivism at its best, right? I mean,
right.
We've seen this type of behavior around the country, and it just manifests itself in the Big Brother house. It's unfortunate that it had to be so ostentatious as it is. Like I could have never have imagined going into the house and saying, I'm not going to do this, that, and the third, like creating like this bill of rights in the Big Brother house,
right?
And then all of a sudden reneging on all of them. It's like, okay, wow, I was really sold a bill of goods, sold down the river. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I don't really know what is going through his mind. Oftentimes I'm wondering, is he sound? Is he okay? I hope that he is. But yeah, I he's going to, you know, face some criticism coming out of the house. It's self-inflicted, just how a lot of what he's been dealing with in the house is self-inflicted. So yeah, he's an interesting character. I tend to agree with you though, Melissa. It'll be interesting to see him leave early if he does. I'm not necessarily interested in seeing him win this game. But I think that a lot of us are, we're used to having someone to root against. And he just decided to take that role head on. And welcome here. Welcome. Welcome. Now you're going to get it.
Yeah. At this point in time, thinking about Frenchie winning Big Brother 23 is, that's the bad place. That's the darkest timeline.
Oh my God. Yeah. Can you, God, like, I don't even want to put this out there. But like thinking about like everyone just being like, you know how right now everybody is like all up about Frenchie because Frenchie's the HOH, or at least my hope is that it's because Frenchie's the HOH and everyone's going to like abandon that moving forward. But like, imagine if that doesn't change and everyone's just like, look, we have to do what Frenchie wants, guys. I always say Frenchie, but like we have to do what Frenchie wants. Like we got to, like, you have to be loyal to him. Like you have to prove your loyalty. Like he wants you to say this or that. Like I just cannot live with that for like any longer. Like, he doesn't want, like, loyal. That's the thing, is like, he doesn't want people to just, like, be on his side. He wants, like, fealty. Like, he wants people to be like, no, no, you're amazing. Like, you're the king. Like, you are the leader. I want you to, like, I want to ride with you to the end. Like, every single person needs to say that. It's just, it's very weird. And, like, even when he, like, called out someone like Claire or something, like, oh, hey, you're not really talking to me. Like, I don't know what your deal is. It's like, yeah, because she, like, doesn't want to. Like, I don't see, like, I don't know. I feel like it's, like, he just wants everybody to be, like, on his side. And that's why he wants this, like, massive alliance. And it's, like, that doesn't make any sense. You can't have, if he even made just, like, a lick of sense in his strategy, I would be, like, oh, okay, well, I see what he's doing. But, like, you can't bring in like a 15 person alliance, but have some people like told, but they're told about the alliance, but they're not actually in the alliance, but they know about it. But then we're not going to mention it to them any further. And then there's this like inner group, but like a bunch of other people are like in the inner group too. We don't really know who's in it. And then like some people like are going to go on the block, but they're in the alliance. But then the, you know, the replacement nominee, like we need to talk with him and like bring him into the like group and strategize with the replacement nominee as like who's going home. It's like, what does, none of this makes sense. Like none of this is good strategy at all. Like I don't know what he's doing.
What's fascinating to me is watching it work. Because it's so sloppy and so like grade level manipulation. Like he is so bad at this, and yet we're seeing it work for the most part. He has won a lot of people over and put himself in a decent spot strategically. And it shouldn't. There's like no part of this should work. And I truly believe that the only reason it is working is because of his position as the first HOH. And I right. think what's fascinating about that to me is seeing just how much a little bit of power can go to, you know, aid in manipulation of people below you, right? Right? It's very interesting.
But I wonder, I do wonder if, because I agree and I don't agree, because I do think that it is working, but I think by and large, like you said, it is because of the first HOH. And I also think that the people that actually matter, the people that can be strategic forces in this game, such as a Tiffany or an Azza, are already onto his shit and are like, mm-hmm. look, I love Frenchie, but mm-hmm. it's just not giving. And so I do wonder if he's going to sink into, oh, we're going to keep you safe because we like you. And then it sinks into that, we're going to keep you safe because no one is going to vote for your ass after what you've done. You know what I mean? I think for that to already be something that's in the air week one, how bad of a player do you have to be mm-hmm. to make yourself a GOAT in week one? It is week one and you've done this to yourself. It's insane. Now that there are people like Hannah that are like, oh yeah, I love French. I trust him. But where's Hannah been all week? You know what I mean? So. Yeah. The real power players here, what do they really feel about him? You know what I mean? The ones that are actually going to control Big Brother 23, I'm going to be interested to see how they continue to interact with him when he is out of power. And I hope to God nobody on his team wins, because he's going to treat it like his HOH, and I'm not here for it. I don't want to see it. No. Tiffany,
week one is supposed to be an easy week. Like, this is supposed to be the easiest week possible. You just pick, like, one random person and be like, yeah, I didn't really get to know you or whatever. Or, like, you lost the competition or whatever. And I'm sorry, but I have to get you out. And, like, that's just the way you do it. And it's easy. And it's done. And you build up, while you're HOH, you build up relationships with people. Because people want to work with the HOH. And, they, you know, you start to just, like, create mm-hmm. bonds with people. And that's about it. That's what it's mm-hmm. supposed to be. That's a successful week one HOH. You don't have to go through these crazy, you know, convoluted, like, backdoor plan.
Fear.
Like, right.
This
you
culture
don't need
of fear.
That.
Everybody thought they were going to be next. So everybody just, you know, kowtowed to him because they didn't want to be the next one, especially when there's already a limited pool of people anyway. So everybody's just like scuttling to a corner trying to get behind Frenchie and get up all up in his ass. And I'm just like, y'all, like, when y'all watch this back and y'all see the effort that he has pushed out the other and be like, what were we doing? What were we thinking? You know what I mean? Like, get his ass out of there.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just like, it's all so much work for nothing. And like, he's not putting himself in a good...
For Travis to go home!
Right. It's like, he's not even putting himself like in a good position, like coming out of this, because it's like, okay, so like, Kylan and Alyssa and Travis are all like annoyed because they were put on the block, but they're in his alliance and like one of them's going to go home. And it's like this whole thing. I mean, I really don't understand it. And I do want to point out that like, I think that the theory has legs. That is that Frenchie didn't feel like he was accepted by the jocks and the athletes and stuff like that back in high school or college or whatever. And, you know, so he was like, you know what? I'm not for that. That's not who I am. Like, I'm with, you know, the minorities and the women, and I'm going to, you know, go with them. And that's my crew now. And then like literally the second he got like a little crumb of attention from a jock or whatever, like a meathead, quote unquote, it was all over. It was like, oh, okay, cool. No. We are friends. All right, great. I'm with you guys now. And it's like all of his, you know, like all the stuff that he was preaching about just went like right out the window the second he got a little bit of attention from Brett. It's like, or Brent. Ugh, these names. Anyway.
I mean, because I've seen that as well. I kind of disagree with it. I think that he honestly just went into that house wanting to do exactly what he said he was going to do on Twitter. He didn't want people to find his tweets. His Twitter account is under suspicious activity right now. He didn't want people to find his tweet saying, I'm going to go after the meathead. He's got videos talking about all the types of, he's going to get rid of the showmances. He's going to go after the meathead. He didn't want people to find those tweets and then see him doing the exact opposite. But then all it took was for Brent to be like, you know, which Brent did share a very powerful and impactful story. So it's no shade to Brent. Brent did what he had to do, and I'm sorry for his loss. But that's all it took. And I think that Frenchie is just an impressionable person. He's an emotional person. And it just took one thing for him to just lose his train of thought. And now we're here we are. You know what I mean? It's just I don't think that there's like this bullied, this inner bullied child within him that never got along with the jocks. I think who's jocking out in Tennessee? Like, it's just not
the meatheads. The meatheads that said he had small arms.
The ones,
yeah, the meatheads on the football team that he couldn't make friends with, and that teased him. Like, literally,
gotta hit him.
I don't know. All I know is that like it's frustrating because it's like it'd be one thing if Frenchie went into the game like just like I'm gonna play the game. I'm gonna do what I have to do. Blah blah blah. Then I don't even think we'd be saying this stuff. But the fact that he went in like so strong about, you know, I'm not going to nominate this and that, and I'm not going to do this and that, and I'm going to play for the people and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that is where I think I'm getting really thrown off that like he is playing the exact opposite of how he like preached he was going to play. And
if this doesn't work out, he can just, you know, run for office because that's all they do to us here anyway. So
it's the truth. I don't know.
I mean, like his experience in Big Brother was on, you know, the Twitter streets, the Big Brother Twitter streets, and the sort of makeup of the Twitter streets are different than the makeup of his own home streets, right? And mm-hmm. I think that despite the fact that he wanted to do one thing, I think that, you know, growing up where he did, he's just used to hanging out with more of the, you know, Brents and Christians, and maybe not hanging out with them, maybe wanting to hang out with them and admiring their, you know, whatever groups, mm-hmm. Wanting to be with them. But like for whatever it is, like he clearly knows, he's clearly been taught, right? A lot of things in regards to, you know, where he came from and race and gender. And, you know, he likes to read it off like he just learned it at school. And he's talking to a teacher about it and he's like, let's see how much I know. But I don't know that he's ever really lived it as much, or had an opportunity to. And so I think that, that's maybe another factor here as well, where, you know, it's fine and dandy to talk about it. It's another thing to really be able to live it.
I think that's interesting though, because I do know a friend of his that has went to high school with him, and he informed me that Frenchie did hang around a lot of the black kids in his high school. And so I think it's just another cautionary tale about, yes, you can have color as friends and still end up practicing weird things, and like nobody is immune to learning how to, you know, you know, be a decent human being. And not saying that I'm not accusing Frenchie of being racist. I don't think that that's appropriate. I'm just saying that I think that there are, obviously there are some tonal differentiations between how he thought that he was going to be seen versus what he ended up doing. And, you know, activism and allyship is so much more than saying something. You actually have to follow through, and we literally see it not following through. So I think it's just a cautionary tale of what not to do if you're trying to be an ally to anybody, not even to people of color, but anybody. You can't simply say you're good and then you're not good. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It looks really bad on your part, and then you're left with having to make excuses for yourself, which is going to make you look even worse. And it's just, it's, you know, but here we are. Here we are.
I need to point out just briefly that I just saw a tweet from about a minute ago that Tiffany finally said it. She said to Sarah Beth, Frenchie, he talks so much. He reminds me of Devin a little bit. An idea, and the next thing you know, we got 13 people in the damn alliance.
Yep.
It was finally said. It just needed to be said, and I'm glad Tiffany was the one to say it.
That's so great. Yeah. Honestly. Finally. Oh my God.
We're not alone. We're not crazy out here.
I think part of the issue for me is that like Frenchie is not making any sense strategically. So it's not even like we could be like, well, look, like he didn't want to, you know, put up any women or minorities, but like he really had to at that point because they were against him or whatever. Like he just like made up stuff to put them up, like when he really didn't need to do that. And it just like, it just doesn't make sense strategically because like apparently according to him, like they're in his alliance. So like why put them on the block?
I've never seen such cognitive dissonance within one person. Like there's just so much going on. And someone just needs to sit him down once he gets out of that house and just go through every decision of the first week and be like, okay, explain this to me. Okay, explain this to me. Okay, explain this to me. Now explain the whole thing to me. Now you read back your thoughts and tell me if that makes sense to you. That's what I want somebody to do to him. Just sit down and have a nice grand old therapy session with him. And then hopefully he can understand later on that like what you doing out here. Like, bro, you are wilding out here. You are really, really out here wilding. Jesus. All I can say. Let go and let go.
Then he'd accuse you of threatening him or something. I don't know. Just like it's just so ridiculous, some of the stuff. Like I just feel like it's like they're staying up too late. Like they're just like talking in circles and then getting irritated with each other. And it's just I just feel like he just loses it. It's like go to bed, everybody. Like nothing good is happening after like 3 a.m. or whatever. Like that's way too late.
Way too long to talk game, these people. They're quiet all day, and then like midnight hits and they're like, it's the witching hour. It's time for game.
They're certainly not like the cast of BB21 where they would just talk right out in the open, you know, because at all hours of the day, this cast is very much like, everything's hunky-dory in the daytime, but the freaks come out at night.
That's so true. And it's literally like I'm sitting there watching feeds until like 1 a.m. and then it's like 1 a.m. hits and I'm like, man, nothing's been going on. Well, I guess it's like a slow night, time to go to bed. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my God, what happened last night? After 1:30, everything, you know, went crazy.
Yeah, I wake up in the morning and they're still going.
Oh my God.
Although, Taryn, you're in California now, so I don't want to hear that much complaining from you. Because if you were on the East Coast like me, when they're up until like 5, 6 a.m., then I understand. But you're over there now.
Yeah, but I'm your still schedule. Doing updates on an East Coast schedule.
That's same true. Sleep
schedule.
I couldn't
that's
do it.
True. That's
I could
true.
Not do it. I don't know how you do it. They stay up so late.
Yeah. So
you better get you a West Coast assistant. Shit.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So Frenchie's target goes from Brent, and then Brent talks to him. He changes his mind. He goes to Christian. Christian wins safety in the wild card competition. So he changes his mind. He's going to go after Alyssa to target Christian. He then nominates Alyssa and Christian. Then when explaining to, Alyssa and Kyland, when explaining to Alyssa and Kyland why he nominated them, Alyssa and Christian managed to sort of, get back on his good side, and he just changes his mind and blames everything on Derek X, who becomes his backdoor target. Now, I do want to explain this a bit because it hasn't been in the episodes so far, and I don't know if it will be just because it is so weird to begin with. This starts with Frenchie and Kyland on day two have a conversation early in the day, and it's a good conversation. Frenchie says he really likes Kyland. Kyland really likes Frenchie. They're going to be friends outside the house, and they would really like to work together. And Frenchie has this idea for an alliance called the Slaughterhouse. And within the Slaughterhouse is a core alliance called the Butchers. And he kind of wants to have Kyland in the core alliance, the Butchers. He tells Kyland about it, and he invites Kyland into his alliance. And Kyland, feeling, I guess, grateful or good about Frenchie enough, decides that he's going to share some information with Frenchie, primarily about Derek X, because Derek X is one of the few people that Kyland has really talked to and has given him much information. Whitney was another person that Frenchie had been talking to and mentioning as somebody that he was good with. And so Kyland decided to tell Frenchie that Derek X did not really get along much with Whitney. And that's just from night one, they didn't seem to click very well. So with that information, after Christian becomes safe, Frenchie somehow warps that into Derek X is starting rumors, not about Whitney, but about Christian. I don't know how this happened. There may have been something that happened while the feeds were down, or it might be Frenchie just completely making something up. It could be Frenchie misinterpreting. It could be Frenchie just genuinely believing, because he's so focused on Christian that, like, he pulled a Topaz on himself and was just like, Christian. Yeah, Derek X made rumors about Christian. But he starts spreading that, and Derek X starts to get in a little bit of hot water because he's apparently spreading rumors about people. Then Frenchie gets word that that, you know, alliances are starting to form, that he had already heard that Christian was trying to form an alliance with Whitney, and Whitney tells him about it. And he sees that Derek X has a long conversation with Kyland, because they're friends. And he's like, what's going on with that? He must be in an alliance with Kyland. Kyland had information coming from Derek X. Derek X is with Travis. This must be some kind of thing. And all of a sudden, he's hearing that they're, you know, starting to spread stuff and talking about stuff. And Kyland tries to give Frenchie a heads up about, like, what they were talking about. But it just backfires. And Frenchie confronts Derek X, saying, "I know you're in an alliance," in front of Brent and Whitney. Now, Derek X, earlier in the day, had sensed that he was in some danger. He'd sensed that he was in some danger and had talked with Travis about, okay, if we're in some danger, who else can we throw out there? What about Brent? And he throws Brent's name out there, and he's like, what if you, me, and Kyland approach Frenchie and we say, hey, can you put Brent up instead of one of us? Because he's been told that, you know, a guy's going to go up. That's what Frenchie's been saying. And so that conversation gets warped into Derek X, Travis, and Kyland formed an alliance, a trio alliance that was specifically targeting Brent and also targeting Frenchie. It turned into them targeting Frenchie. And Derek X, poor Derek X, does not really know the game very well. The second he's confronted by Frenchie, he admits to the fact that he did have a conversation with Travis.
And I was like, why? Like, just say, yes. I don't know, what are you talking about? Just say, like, wait, what do you mean? Like, just play dumb. Like, don't sit there and be like, yeah, no, that did happen. Mm-hmm, you're right, and I'm sorry. It's like, what? No, he didn't even, like, give you any details. He was just like, I know you've been talking. It's like, just be like, about what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, explain to me what you think I said. Like, I was like, yeah, stop. He clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
This is why I did not think that Derek X would be Taryn's first pick.
I thought he was a fan. I did not realize that the only reason he said Chilltown was because one of the casting producers said that he would play like Dr. Will.
What did he do in casting that had people thinking he'd play like Dr. Will? I mean, even like from his initial interviews, I was like, yeah, no, this is not a Dr. Will. Like, I never got the sense that he was a Dr. Will type.
That's sort of the vibe that I got. I was like, oh, so this guy's like, he's, you know, a peripheral fan. He's, you know, he's good. And I was like, I almost picked him first, but I was being thirsty and I really tempered myself. I did not think that Taryn would go for somebody like this, but... There we go.
I do believe that you offered your entire team for Derek X. If that offer is still on
I'm
the table.
Thirsty, Taryn, because I was thirsty.
Taryn, go ahead and trade him now.
So Derek X, any player who knew what they were doing would have, first of all, denied it. Second, they would have known that what they had was not an alliance to begin with. That they had never made an alliance, they had never officialized, and they'd never even said the A word. So they would have known to say, what are you talking about? That wasn't an alliance. I literally just had a conversation with them earlier today. But poor Derek doesn't really understand those things. And so when Frenchie's telling him, don't even try to lie to me, I know it's an alliance, he's like, I guess it's an alliance. Yeah, I'm sorry. And so by admitting it, he opens
play by play. Oh my God.
He opens the floodgates and allows himself to become the scapegoat for everything here. So that's why Derek X is in trouble. And that's why Kylan is in trouble, because Kylan, who really got the ball rolling on all of this, then gets in trouble because, he has now betrayed Frenchie as well. And he tries to explain it. And now because Kylan did know enough to know how to deny it properly, because it wasn't even true in the first place, Frenchie now thinks that Kylan is the only liar of the bunch, because Derek X has admitted to it all, and Kylan is telling the truth about what it actually was, and therefore is lying about it all.
You're so right, though, that like this has created, they've created like this like culture of fear, where it's like they are now like afraid to like that. Oh, we played too hard, too fast. Now we got to slow down. We can't play like this anymore. Like, we can't form bonds. We can't talk to people. We have to just like stick with Frenchie. Like, we can't even say the A word. Like, the fact that everybody's like, I don't even want to say the A word. Like, let's wait on it. Like, even for like people who like hang out all the time and like are clearly in an alliance are like, well, it's not anything yet because we haven't said the A word. It's like, what is all this? Like, this is weird. I don't like this. Like, I don't know what the heck they're doing.
And it's compounded by the fact that Derek X isn't that well-versed of a player, because if it were somebody else who was a little bit more well-versed, they'd have been like, bitch, get the hell out of my face with this. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, and instead he's like apologizing. Please, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I really messed this up. I'm so bad. And he's like, in every conversation, he talks about how bad he is at the game and like how he just messed up so bad and how he tanked his own game in the first week and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you didn't do anything wrong. Sort of. I want to like tell him, like, up until that point when you then like admitted that you did something wrong, which you didn't do, like, I wanted to like shake him and be like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, you are playing this game just like everybody else. Like, I mean, like, this, you have done nothing wrong. This is the way it's done. Like, they're just trying to make you feel bad about what you've done. Like, that it's your fault that this whole thing has happened, when really, like, they tricked you.
Yeah. I wish he understood, which I think he's starting to understand. Now we get to see a little bit of what was going on now. I mean, and Taryn tweeted about it earlier today. Like, perception is everything in that house. And I wish if he had sort of understood that tenet from the jump, then maybe he would have been able to explain his way out of this a little bit better when it initially happened. But now he's sort of like at the bottom of the totem pole and alliances are forming without him. And I don't know whether this was intentional or not by Frenchie. He really just, you know, commanded the entire situation. He was really able to take his own spin on it, and people allowed him to take his own spin on it. And his spin is fact, because as long as Derek X is at the bottom, we don't have to worry about being potentially backdoor. You know what I mean? And so everyone's fine to, you know, run with this narrative as long as it means that they're going to survive 1 week, because especially in a situation where you don't know who's going to get nominated, because Frenchie's out here nominating people without even saying anything. So, and then you tried to say that production was like, oh, I only didn't say anything because production said we're not allowed. No, production said you're not allowed to tell people that they're going to be on the block. That's what production said. They didn't say you couldn't tell everybody else who you're nominating.
Yeah, and nobody follows that rule anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
That rule is a fake rule that like the fans try and use to like make it so that way like they can't nominate their favorites or something because they told them like, oh, but he said it. So now you can't nominate them. It's like that rule is fake.
I'm still waiting for the day where somebody tries to use that rule and the person they're saying it to goes, we know that's not a real rule. Like we know that nobody follows that rule. All right. So Derek X becomes the scapegoat and the backdoor target for Frenchie, who now does not want Alyssa to go home, nor does he really want Kylan to go home at this point. However, Derek X is going to go ahead and win the veto. And just like that, Derek X is safe. And a secondary, or I should say sixth dairy target is going to come into effect here. Brent, who way back when convinced Frenchie that he was the next coming, has decided that he would like for Travis to be the one to go home because if we rewind, he from Frenchie has heard that Travis, Derek X, and Kylan all were trying to target him. He was very betrayed by Derek X, who was on his team, and how could he? He must grovel before me to make up for it. But Travis is the snake in the grass, the one that got into Derek X's ear and tempted him into sin. I don't know why I'm so biblical all of a sudden. It's Brent. He brings it out of me. He feels very biblical in the way that he thinks about things.
I can't drag you too hard for the Derek X read because clearly my Brent read was, oof, God.
Yes. So Brent has been wanting Travis out and he, now that Derek X has won the veto, feels like, boom, perfect opportunity. Travis should be the one to go, and Frenchie feels good about it because he's no targets left anyway. And so the plan becomes, let's make sure that Derek X uses the veto on one of the nominees so that we can get Travis up on the block and send him home. So Brent is going to be on top of Derek X. You must do what Frenchie wants you to do. You must do this. And Derek X, for his part, wants to use the veto on Kylan because he does not realize that Kylan is the reason he's in trouble in the first place and that Kylan is not particularly loyal to him. And so he wants to do a homie move for his homie, is, in my opinion, not so very bad. Good for him.
So bad. It's such a bad move. I don't see, like, I mean, the only reason I could see this being a good move is if they could convince Frenchie not to put Travis up on the block and then they were able to save Kylan. But like, otherwise it just does not make any sense why you would want to put his, if he knows his number one ally and only friend is going up on the block, it does this. It just does not make sense.
Mm-hmm. In Derek's mind, he's choosing between his two closest allies, Travis and Kylan. And in one of those outcomes, he's defying the will of the entire house to save his friend and will get in a lot of trouble for it. And he is just going to potentially lose his other friend anyway. And in the other scenario, he is doing the will of the house and gaining trust back and being included in things and saving his friend in the process. Unfortunately, the other friend will have to be left behind for the good of his game. That's kind of how he sees it / saw it. But obviously that's not really the case. First of all, he's not really going to gain any real traction from this because people are not particularly grateful in the game of Big Brother. Second, Kylan is not a particularly loyal ally, as we have already discussed, and we'll discuss even further. Third, it's Travis is actually an ally that would work with him and be with him. And really, if anything, I think the house would respect Derek even more if he did a move on his own, if that makes sense, that people would then come to him because he actually would have wielded power on his own in the game. And they would have seen him as an active player that they didn't want to have against them instead of a very weak player that they could easily throw on the block or target without getting any blood on their hands. So that's my view, at least on this one, but that's how Derek sees it. And that's how he's going to do it. He wants to use the veto on Kylan. And that's great because that's what Frenchie wants. That's what Brent wants. Everything's all going to be nice and great. Except Frenchie changes his mind again. He's been thinking about it and Kylan is still lying to him about targeting him, and that whole alliance thing. And I can't believe he hasn't come clean yet. And do you see how many women he has been seen with in this house. He is way too popular. God. This guy needs to go. So he tries convincing Tarek to use the veto on Alyssa instead, or not use the veto at all, and potentially try to get Kyland out of the game. This is when all of the nonsense happened, where Kyland was like, you know, Frenchie is promising Kyland that if the veto is used on Alyssa, that he would still be 100% safe. And Kyland's like, well, you know, I was also 100% sure that I wasn't going to be on the block. So,
Don't
snap at me like that.
It's a legitimate comment. Like, the fact that Frenchie is so upset that he said that, when it's like, no, but it's true. Like, you did promise him that you did tell him in the beginning that he was safe and he wasn't going to go on the block. And then all of a sudden he was on the block. Like, it's legitimate concern that, like, well, I don't know if I can trust that when you're telling me I'm 100% safe, when you told me I was 100% not going to go on the block and now I am on the block. Like, the fact that Frenchie gets so upset about it.
How dare you speak truth to my delusion?
And yeah, I hope that was another red flag amongst a host of many red flags for everybody that was involved in that conversation, probably with the exception of Brent, because Brent and him have some sort of bromance going on at this point. But Xavier saw that. Kylan obviously experienced that. Derek X was there for that. I hope that they're all sitting here like, oh, okay, so we can't say anything in dissent of this dude, or he's just going to go off the deep end. Mm-hmm. Like, that was insane. And that should be it. That should be all they need to know moving forward when it comes to working with Frenchie. That's it.
By the way, fact that they think that this Frenchie Brent like bromance is like adorable is just so horrific. No, like Whitney, how she's like, tell the story again about how became BFFs. And they're like, oh my God, it was so funny. So like we talked and now we're BFFs.
We both
applied
to the show Big Brother. Yeah. We ended up in the house together and now we're friends.
It's like, this is not the feel-good story you think it is. This is just like vomit inducing. Like, I have no desire for this at all. Like, I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's fun. I just like, I want them to go far, far away from each other and just like out of the house. And then that's it. Like, I honestly, yeah, right, it's like, it's not a cute, fun little story. Like, it's not. It's gross.
I had no idea that they were going around like telling the story of their,
story of what an amazing
tale. If that was on camera 4, I was on camera 1 because I saw none of
that. It's like a tale of like love and acceptance and like not judging people off of like what they look like or their whatever. It's like,
oh, you know what? I get
this
a little bit of
is
that,
not that.
I guess that turned
out. Like, the fact Frenchie that they're sitting there like, they're just sitting there like, oh, well, I unfairly judged this meathead and instead he actually has a heart of gold. It's like, oh my God. It's so, ugh.
Yeah, Frenchie will run around and basically be like, hey, have you heard the story of Brent and myself? And they'll be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, sure. Well, let me just tell you, right. Let me just like reset. So with night one,
hated this guy. I hated him.
Now we're slapping butts.
Slapping butts.
Yeah. He talked about it.
Wow, Amon, you're really not on the right feeds. Actually, you are on the right feeds, actually.
I am on the correct feed.
All right. Yeah. So, despite Frenchie literally hounding Derek X all night long to try and convince him to use the veto on Alyssa or not use the veto instead of using it on Kylan, Derek X is going to hold his ground. And this is one of those rare instances where I'm like, I appreciate what you're doing for Kylan in this moment. And I appreciate that you've got a backbone in this game. Unfortunately, it's for a move I don't agree with, but hey, still promise shown. He is eventually going to use the veto on Kylan and Travis is going to go up as the replacement nominee. That's where we stand right now with Travis as the most likely first boot for the season, though I would not necessarily write that check before Thursday because this is the Big Brother 23 house we're talking about.
Right. And that's why I'm not as down on the move to save Conley, because I agree that it's definitely, you're saving someone that's definitely actively not trying to make sure that you don't go out next week. But there's still that sliver of a chance that these people get their act together. And we saw, you know, Derek X was sort of, you know, making some of these comments today about how he really needs to focus on getting his footing in this game as opposed to just trying to save people that he thinks, you know, are going to be good for his game. I think that there's still a shot that there's a way that he can wiggle his way out there. I think that there's still a world in which Kylan actually wakes up and is like, you know what? Like Frenchie was the one that did this. Derek didn't do this at any of this. Frenchie did all of this. So maybe we should be pointing our arrows over there. So maybe, I mean, Kylan's already talking about throwing the HOH. So bad chance, but I don't know, there's still potential there. And, you know, there's still potential that Travis could stay if they just start putting their thinking caps on to think about what's going on, especially since Kylan already told Sarah Beth about the slaughterhouse. So it's like, hello, like, you should be doing something else. But even Sarah Beth's trying to go after Derek X. It's like, this guy can't keep him catch a break. It's like, damn it. Like, what does he got to do? Like, he saved you with the veto. Like, what else is there to it? You want to get rid of him next week? He'd save you again.
It falls into that pattern where it's like in the beginning of the game, it's so easy to just go after the people who are already on the outs. Like, it's just like, well, but we're so early. And like, you know, this person's on the outs. Like, who's going to be mad if I go after them? Like, I don't really want to like make a big splash. So I'm just going to go after this person that's already like on the way out. And that's seemingly fine. But the problem is that like, it adds up. And by the time then when you're like, okay, now I'm ready to make a big move, you're in the minority while the majority alliance is sitting there going to pick you off one by one. And now you're on the outs. Like, it's just, you have to like nip that in the bud right away.
Exactly. Like, change the culture of the game. It's like, oh, we're talking about easy targets, easy targets, easy targets. They're an easy target because you're allowing them to be an easy target. I mean, Tiffany was talking about it today. Like, I don't want to do what the house wants to do. If we're doing something that the house wants to do, then why are we even here? Like, right. Derek X does not have to be an easy target. Y'all can easily scoop him up and do something. Right.
That's the thing. Make is they moves. Can easily like bring him in. Like, he has nobody. Like, especially when Travis leaves, like, he's gonna have nobody. Like, bring him in. Be like, look, I want to work with you. Like, this, he'll be looking for that. He'll be like, and then the second he gets that, he'll be loyal. Like, it makes sense to try and bring them into the fold instead of just like isolating them more and then being like, well, let's just let everyone pick him off because at least it's not me. Like, it just, it's not a good way to play.
I hope they wake up. I do.
I can't believe that the abbreviated version of this week has taken about an hour.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We'll have to go quick through the ratings, or else we'll be here for literally ever.
We do have to talk about the state of the house here and give you a rundown of the alliances in the house here. So, first of all, there is the Slaughterhouse Alliance. Mm-hmm. That is the alliance that Frenchie has created. This alliance is roughly Frenchie, Brent, Whitney, Big D, Kylan, Xavier, Alyssa, and Christian. That is the Slaughterhouse, an 8-person alliance with a core of the Butchers, which is Frenchie, Brent, Big D, Xavier, and Christian. So it's a dude bro core of a bigger Slaughterhouse alliance. And that is our, you know, majority steamroll alliance of the season as of right now. It's the alliance that was created by Frenchie, the first HOH. It's got a lot of momentum, theoretically. And it's the alliance that normally we would be like, uh-oh, here we go. But there's a lot of infighting already. Frenchie has already turned on Xavier and Kylan. And Christian is already anti-Kylan and Xavier. Brent is trying to hold the whole thing together for the most part. Whitney is kind of MIA.
Whitney's gone. Okay. Yeah.
Alyssa is integrating herself, for sure. But this sort of Kyle and Xavier issue is an issue. And you never really know where Big D, who is Derek F, is going to land. So, not to mention the fact that Frenchie is also out here making other alliances, which we will talk about soon. But that's the Slaughterhouse side of things. Definitely interested to see where that one goes. We also have a very loose alliance called the Cookout. This one is Tiffany, Azza, Xavier, Big D, Kyland, and Hannah, roughly Hannah. She doesn't know the name of it. She's just protected by them and will vote with them, or so she says. Now, this is an alliance. I say it's loosely formed. They've never really had a meeting of all of them together. Again, Hannah's barely even really part of it. They will be looking out for each other. They are playing for, you know, the bigger cause, of, you know, supporting one another, in Big Brother. But there are some causes for concern, mainly being Big D, who has already expressed that he doesn't really have much loyalty for this group. Xavier has expressed that this is his first priority, but has also said some different things. The fact that they don't even have Hannah in as like a full member is a little bit weird. And Kyland, he has not outed this alliance quite yet. There are some doubts about him in the alliance, from some of them. And so we'll see. There was a point in time at which I said I thought the Cookout was probably the strongest group in the game. I don't know that I can say the same thing right now, mostly because of Big D. But they are still a force to be reckoned with if they have any amount of loyalty to each other. And definitely something that you have to pay attention to if you are going to continue to look at the state of the house moving forward.
And will I just say, you know, as a fellow African American, I see all the critiques about people saying, you know, oh, they're not meeting up. This is a very weird alliance. Like, they're not even having meetings. It's like, look, sometimes you just be giving brothers and sisters a look. That's all you need to do. You give them the look and you know you're good. That being said, because of the fact that Big D is out here running around acting crazy, y'all do need to stitch your asses down and have a talk. Because Sit down, grab a plate, have a talk, please.
Yeah.
If you have any interest in all of keeping this afloat, or else it's just gonna, the cookout's about to be canceled.
Yeah, start making the food.
It's raining, okay?
So we also have, this very recent alliance called, I haven't said it out loud yet. And I don't want to.
Oh, no, not this one. Can we at least go through the girl ones first?
All right, we'll go through. We'll skip this one for now. There's the Sirens, which is a women's alliance with Tiffany, Claire, Azza, and Brittany. They haven't really been super talky since they sort of formed it. We also have Jackpot, which is Tiffany, Claire, and Sarah. Tiffany doing a lot. In a good way. Loving what I'm seeing from Tiffany. We'll talk more about that. And she's also included in this Frenchie alliance that he has started with the women of the house. He calls it French Kisses. Now, I think luckily, right?
Oh, no, let's just sit in silence for longer. How about
let's have the rest of the podcast just us be sitting there and have just disgusted faces on.
Here's the thing. Tiffany has been using this French Kisses thing to help turn some of the women essentially against Frenchie. This is very recent. This happened today. And some of what she's been doing has been happening during this podcast. But I was seeing her talk to Claire, seeing her talk to Sarah. And she's kind of like, if he's making an alliance with the women, that he's already making one with the men. And Sarah already knows this because Kyland has already outed the Slaughterhouse to Sarah. But they're able to kind of bond over that. Tiffany has also taken to calling Frenchie Fry.
Appropriate.
Is Tiffany on Twitter?
She is, and no one can find her burner account because we noticed what she got.
But see, Frenchie is a product of Twitter. Tiffany, Tiffany sets the trends for Twitter.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
She's so good. I
just love her. So Tiffany has been doing some work as we speak. She has been bonding with Derek X and has been trying to stop some of the people who really should not be going after Derek X from going after Derek X, and is trying to rally some troops against Brent, who is the perfect target to dismantle this group. Now, I say the perfect target. There is another target that I would love to see anybody target, and that is Christian, who I think is a very dangerous threat in this game. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. We also have the teams. And the teams are the Jokers, Aces, Kings, and Queens. They have some influence on the game. There's some amount of loyalty that happens between these teams. There's, of course, Frenchie, Azza, Big D, and Brittany. There's Whitney, Brent, Derek, and Hannah. There is Christian, Xavier, Alyssa, and Sarah. And there's Claire, Tiffany, Travis, and Kylan. The Jokers, Frenchie's team, they were pretty tight at the very beginning of the game, but now it's mostly Frenchie and Big D. Azza and Brittany have started to peel away from that group because Frenchie has done a very bad job of keeping them engaged. We have in the Aces, Whitney, Brent, Derek, and Hannah. Derek has been, you know, he has done them wrong. How dare he? This is barely a team. It's Whitney and Brent. They're kind of a thing. And then Derek is off on his own, just trying to not have his team hate him. And Hannah is like really just like doing her own thing, barely a part of anything.
What is she doing? Oh my God.
Then we have the Kings. And this is a pretty tight team in some ways, but it has been splintering. Christian and Alyssa have been starting to get closer. Xavier thinks that he's still with them, but they are pulling away from him a little bit. And then Sarah is with them, but is starting to do her own thing off with many of the other women that do not include Alyssa. And then we have the Queens. And this is a team that is not the tightest team either. It's mostly Claire and Tiffany, who are a bit of a duo at this point. I did not catch all of it, but I believe Tiffany recently spoke to the cameras and indicated that Claire is definitely one of her top priorities, if not the top priority for Tiffany. They are a great pair together. I think the two of them can do some real damage in this game if they have a chance. So definitely one to watch out for. They are both in two different, you know, women alliances. And then Travis is on that team. It's looking like he might go home. There's not a lot of protection that he gets from this team. And then Kylan is on this team. Obviously, he is also a little bit with Tiffany, a little bit with Travis. Claire is mostly with the women. She has not been doing too much socializing beyond that. But this is, again, a team that's not the most solid in the world. So the teams are already starting to splinter a bit, but there is still a little bit of like pull toward your teammates. And we definitely have seen that the teams helped influence some relationships to come together in the first place. But beyond that, the teams have not been the most influential in the world.
Yes, I did so much studying today to really break down all of this stuff in my head. And yeah, I think the teams, they did add a little bit of spice to this. I think it really is going to depend on who wins HOH and who ends up safe that really controls the furthering of this season. I think that Tiffany wanting to target Brent, I agree with you, Taryn. I think it's the perfect person to destabilize that alliance because you're going to get Frenchie on one side, and when Frenchie's not getting his way, well, how is he going to respond to everybody else that they're trying to get rid of? It's just going to, this has to happen. It has to happen. Yeah, Hannah, don't know what you're doing, girl. You got to get in good somewhere, or you're going to end up like DX, and we know how that story could end, so please, girl, do something. Talk to somebody. Get in good where it's hot. I don't know what you got to do, but you got to do something because you're not giving much. You're really not. Also, Brittany. I mean, Brittany seems to be in a better position than most, but she's also teetering around the middle. And it's like, you're not in the slaughterhouse. You're not in the majority alliance. You're in only one of the girl alliances that exists. So it's like, hello. Like, so there are so many people that are like spare pieces that are not really picking things up. I created an imaginary alliance today in my head called the Vegans. It's the counter alliance to the slaughterhouse. And it's pretty much everyone that's not in the slaughterhouse, with the exception of Kylan, who's a go-between to get information. But that's just fantasy. So don't take that for any sort of validation.
All right. Well, that is the state of the house at the moment. I expect that a lot of that will change in the coming week. So don't take too much of it too seriously at this point. I would expect by next week, we will probably have something a bit more solid for you in terms of the state of the house, and hopefully also in terms of the recap of the week. But we'll see. So are we ready to rate these players for the first time in the Stockwatch?
Let us do it.
All right. So I'm going to bring this up on the screen here. I apologize. It's not as pretty as it normally is. I do not have my proper setup here. It's what it is here. Whoops. That's not what I meant to do.
No.
Not those names again.
So here we are, the Stockwatch ratings. What we do here is that I have sent out a survey link on Twitter at Armstrong Terran. You still have a chance to submit those ratings if you want. You have a little bit of time left if you want to. On Twitter, survey link, and you rate each player based on their gameplay 1 through 10. 10 being the best. They are doing extraordinarily well. They are set up, they have done as well as they possibly could in the week, and they are a very likely candidate to win the game. All the way down to a 1, which is that they played as pretty much as badly as they possibly could, or as poorly as they possibly could, and they have basically no chance to win the game, and they're just terrible. Probably on their way out the door. And then a 5 is, you know, average, middle of the road, replacement level player who is not necessarily super positive, not necessarily super negative either. So with that in mind, the three of us are going to give the players a rating, and then the audience average score will also be in as a rating. And then we're going to, you know, total it off. It's going to be submitted to the Stockwatch, the Reality Stockwatch website, where you guys can play the game along with us here. And it will be the base for the prices that we are going to give to the stocks, the individual shares of stock in each player. You can then buy and sell stocks from the players based on where you think they might go in the following week, whether it's up or down according to these ratings. So that's how it's played. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to start with Alyssa. Let's start with Alyssa, who is on the block. On the block, not a great place to be in the first week. Historically, nobody has ever survived a week one vote on the block and gone on to win the game. In fact, nobody except for Steve has even touched the block in the first week and gone on to win the game. Steve famously winning the first veto in the first week to save himself and take himself off the block, which is the only exception to this rule. It's not a great place to start the game because it limits your initial social sort of bonds and strategic foundation, essentially. So I don't love that she is on the block here, but she's handled it decently well. And I think that she has a lot of potential in this game. That said, for me, I have to go down to a 3 out of 10 for Alyssa. And that's because, first of all, again, she's on the block. Not only is she on the block, and that's bad for her long term, it's also very bad for her short term. And that's because, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, this is a weird house and things have changed and shifted all over the place. And there's still, you know, a full 2 days, for things to, go completely awry and for Alyssa to end up being on the wrong end of a vote flip. And so she could be on her way out the door, you know, 48 hours from now. And that is not a great place to be. And I don't think it's particularly unlikely. In addition to that, I also don't love where she's positioned strategically. She has managed to integrate herself more with some of the guys of the slaughterhouse, but she's distancing herself from people like Xavier, who have actually a little bit more in terms of what they can offer her, because Xavier has connections outside of the slaughterhouse, whereas people like Christian and Brent don't quite. They're more entrenched within the slaughterhouse, and she has very little power within the slaughterhouse and butchers. She's not even in the butchers. And if she is going to sort of like ride with this big majority alliance that she's kind of on the bottom of, it's not a great place to be either. So I think that there's a lot of potential here for Alyssa, but I don't like where she is right now in a lot of different ways. And so for that reason, I'm giving her a 3. Amon, what do you think?
Yeah, so I didn't watch a lot of feeds yesterday, and so I saw so much critique about Alyssa being a guy's girl, and I was like, where's all this coming from? Like, was she even asked to be in any of these girls' alliances? And then a bunch of people got me together on Twitter and was like, Amon, she said this at 9:56 p.m. She said that she's a guy's girl. The girls are not going to ask her because she said it in front of the girls, and I'm like, okay, all right, she's a guy's girl. I get it. So, yeah, I think that while women are not required to work with other women in the Big Brother house, in fact, we've seen one woman win the game by not doing that. I think when you're already on the block in the first week and you do need to sort of start fostering more relationships with more people in the house, and then instead of really doing that, you join an alliance that's mostly men with one other girl that is seemingly MIA from that alliance, so she could be, you know, out the door any minute. Yeah, it really doesn't foster a lot of confidence in your game. We already have other people that are considering throwing her up as a pawn next week. Tiffany mentioned her name saying, you know what, mm-hmm. if I want to get Brent out of here, maybe I should put her next to Alyssa. So it's like people are already spending a nomination on you in the future. And that's never a good thing because your name is always going to come up as a name. So, yeah, I also gave her a 3. The votes could flip. I saw somebody in the chat asking, would anybody actually flip to save Travis? I'm like, all it takes is for the slaughterhouse to leak to the right person. And then the next thing you know, they're like, all right, well, let's get Alyssa up out of here so they don't have the numbers. And it can happen that fast, especially in this house. So, yeah, she's in a really tenuous spot. She's most likely safe, but you should always be 100% safe. And since she's not, it's a 3.
Yeah. I will say, though, that I guess in some degree to Alyssa's defense, it did seem to me like from very early on, the women did seem to, for whatever reason, not vibe with Alyssa too much. From night one, there were talks about...
That's the impression that I got. Yeah.
They were already from night one predicting that she would get into a showmance and be, you know, that kind of woman, and that they wouldn't really... There weren't any talks of including her. And that's kind of tough because, you know, that could have been a good read, or it could have been sort of a predictive thing where, because they thought it kind of made it happen to some degree. We do know that Frenchie very unfairly judged her in terms of her connection to Christian. So, you know, it's definitely a tricky thing to judge here.
Yeah.
Melissa, how do you feel about Melissa?
I'm going between a 3 and a 4. You guys have kind of convinced me to go with a 3. I was planning on going with a 4, but you know, just because I do think that she has good instincts. I think that she's a smart girl, and I think that the way that she's handled some of the situations have been, you know, pretty impressive, especially considering, mm-hmm. like, I'd be really pissed off if I was her, especially with, like, Frenchie saying that the reason that she's on the block is because she, like, might get into a showmance. Like, I mean, it's crazy. And then, you know, I think that she's put herself, she's done as best she can with the cards that she was dealt of being put on the block the first week. And I think that she's really doing a good job of, you know, even though she's being reassured that she's safe, she's still going around to people and asking, you know, like, hey, I just want to make sure I have your vote. And she isn't just like kind of sitting back and be like, yeah, French, you'll take care of me. He said I was safe. So, you know, and the fact that she gets put on the block and then is able to like convince Frenchie that he wants to be in an alliance with her. I mean, maybe it's not that hard to convince Frenchie, but still, like, the fact that she was able to do that, which she could have just like cried and like gone and like hid in her room after being nominated, you know? So, you know, I am pretty impressed with her in that regard. However, she is on the block. She could easily get sent home this week. And the fact that everybody's now talking about how she would be a really good pawn because of the way that she like has handled herself on the block. So it's been like a blessing and a curse. The fact that she's done well on the block is also possibly going to hinder her in the future because she probably is going to get put up again just because it's an easy mark. So, you know, I am feeling a little, I'm feeling in between a 3 and a 4, but I do think you guys are absolutely right that
you're kind of convincing me now to go up a little higher.
I mean, I do think that I don't think that there's anything that she really necessarily has been doing wrong this week. However, like maybe like the fact that she hasn't been trying to create more bonds with more people and has kind of just been relying on like Frenchie's team when like Frenchie literally put her on the block. She probably should have like, you know, kind of branched out at that point. And the fact that now that the Slaughterhouse name and like alliance is kind of out there with the Kylan telling Sarah Beth thing, that makes me really nervous for her chances. And the fact that Derek X is now going around being like, I think I made a mistake. I think maybe we need to figure out a way to keep Travis. Like, it seems too risky to me to go up to a 4 right now. So I'm going to go with a 3, but I think that's a 3 that could absolutely get bumped up.
All right. Well, the audience voted as well, and they have spoken. They said that Alyssa was a 4 out of 10.
Which I get, because yeah, like I agree with Alyssa and I agree with what you said earlier, Taryn. She did sort of handle, she did the best with what she could. I mean, the way that she even handled the conversation, because I was glued to the feed after the nominations, and the way that she sort of was able to talk to Frenchie, express how she was feeling, but also validate his feelings along the way, because you got to with Frenchie, because or else if you don't, then it's a threat. So the fact that she was able to sort of do that, and you know, she's garnering the votes for herself. They still could change, but she is doing what she must do. And I think that there really wasn't much that she was doing wrong in the beginning. I think that she was going to get nominated because Frenchie had this idea in her mind. And if anything, if Alyssa had an even better social game, it might have been even more of an incentive for Frenchie to put her on the block. So I don't think that there was much that she could have done to avoid the situation that she was dealt, but she is dealing what she can to dig herself out of it. So I respect the 4.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, and this is oversimplified, but she's kind of like a 6 out of 10 base level player, potentially. That's what I'm seeing in her. But current positioning, dock a point, long-term effects of being a first nominee, dock a point, and then short-term effects of potentially going home, dock another point, and then
Right.
So let's talk about Azza. Melissa, let's start with you on Azza.
I really like Azza. I'm a little nervous about her position in the game. I feel like when I thought that the cookout was like more of like a solid, like they are in this, I would have put her way up there. But I'm a little nervous just because, like, you know, the fact that I don't tend to see her in a lot of conversations, and you know, and I didn't really know why, and then when I watched the update I was like, oh, that makes sense why I'm not seeing her, is she spends a lot of time, like people know that she spends a lot of time in her room, that's why I'm not seeing her on these feeds. So I'm a little nervous for that. I think that she had said at one point that she's like an introvert and needs like time to recharge. I think that's what she said, which like totally makes sense. But like in the Big Brother house, like people can use whatever reason they want to like nominate you and say that you're an outcast or whatever. So I really hope that that's not the case for her. I think she's really smart. I think that she's strategic, and I think that she's got some good potential allies. Like I think Xavier, and I think that Tiffany, and the fact that like there are some girls that she's been working with are pretty good. But I feel like I'm missing her, I think. So I'm not fully prepared to give her like an amazing score, but I do think that she's playing, or that I see her playing better than average. So I feel like I want to give her a six because I'm more impressed with her than just middling. But I'm a little like worried about her positioning in the house. So yeah, I'm going to give her a six because I do have faith that she can do this. I don't know where she's at right now.
Aman, what do you think?
I am giving Azza an eight. I take through critique about how she's a little bit standoffish at times, but she is definitely paying attention. She knows what's going on. People are cluing her in on things. I think that she has a good lay of the land, not the strongest lay of the land, but I think that she has a good one. The fact that she is able to really see through Frenchie's BS, but still keep her cool. Like, I will never forget that conversation that Frenchie was having. I think it was like day three or whatever. And he's like freaking out about the nominations. She is just sitting there like, this mother effer is crazy. Like, but you know, you can read it on her face, but she didn't say anything. And so I like the fact that she knows what she has to do moving forward. And I like the fact, I mean, I also sort of had a dissenting opinion about how, because she was talking about how she wanted to win the next situation. I was like, I don't know if you need to, Azza, because no one's saying your name, first and foremost. No one is saying Azza's name as a potential target. And I feel like maybe winning an HOH and getting rid of somebody might ruffle feathers, but a lot of people reminded me of the fact that, you know what? No, winning HOH early, especially when no one's really coming for you, is the perfect time to do it because you're going to get away with it and you can get somebody out of the house that's not necessarily on your team. So I think that Azza is in a really great spot. I don't really see anybody coming for her in the meantime. And so I think that warrants an eight for me. I think that she can definitely be a little bit more instrumental, but the fact that she's planning on doing so next week gives me hope that she knows exactly what she needs to do. So it's an eight for me, baby.
An eight from Aman. I'm actually with Melissa on this one. I gave Azza a six. And I think similar to Alyssa, I feel like there's more potential there than the rating may suggest. I feel like she's probably, in terms of the potential I see in her as a player, closer to a seven. But I don't love what I've seen from her this week. I feel like she's been a bit too passive at times. She was a little too slow to come around on the Frenchie thing. I didn't love her strategy of like, I'm definitely gonna like for sure target the first HOH winner in the first place. I mean, I like the idea in the sense that the first HOH winner often should be targeted, but it seemed like she really was like hard and fast about that rule until she literally couldn't, which was a little strange. In terms of where she is right now, she's not where she needs to be for me in order to get up to a seven. But I do think the potential is there that she potentially could get to that place. She doesn't necessarily need to be playing super hard right now. She is in a pretty decent spot, but I would love for her to get some power or one of her allies to get some power. And I would love to see where she goes with that. Now, part of my concern is that theoretically, this week, her ally did get power. Frenchie was going to her very often in the first 2 days of this game. And she, you know, while she was frustrated with Frenchie in that he left her high and dry, she also contributed to that to a degree by not continually approaching Frenchie in the same way that some other more active players were. And if she had, then, you know, maybe she'd be more tangled in his mess, but she also would probably be a bit safer in the game moving forward because she'd probably be included in this whole slaughterhouse thing like she was originally going to be.
But it's not her style, Taryn.
Exactly.
She's the type, I mean, she literally told everybody else, like, just don't do anything. Just everybody stop. Everybody stay where you are. Just freeze. And I'm kind of interested in that sort of like possum type energy, you know, like just let everybody else flail about. And I'm just going to be sitting here, you know, so it might not be the most interesting as of now. But yeah, in a house like this, who knows, especially with an HOH like Frenchie, I mean, I think it might have been the better play because I don't know if you necessarily want to be entangled in Frenchie's BS, even if you are safe for the week. So, I mean, time will tell, but I think it was a good read.
And so basically, I think the way I see it is that at some point, she's going to have to turn it on. If she doesn't, then, you know, this is going to plummet. But if she's willing and capable of turning it on when she needs to, okay.
Yeah.
The audience is with Melissa and I on this one. They gave Azza a 6 out of 10. All right. Let's go now to Brent. Let's talk about Brent. Amon, how do you feel about Brent? Another 8, right?
No. I struggled with Brent. Brent is kind of one of those middling characters for me. I think that he did a great job with getting himself out of the crosshairs with Frenchie. That's probably the strongest thing that he's done out of this past 7 days. Everything else socially wise has just been a mess. Like he can come off very condescending. The way that he was treating DX when he won that veto was just so off-putting. And when he feels like he has power, the way that he felt like he had to be like an evangelist for Frenchie, I'm like, what are you doing? So with that being said, I'm really going to be interested to see what happens when Frenchie is out of power and the everything shifts. Like, is he just going to do the exact same thing that he did with Frenchie with somebody else? Or is he now just tied down with Frenchie and that's it? I don't know. I'm missing the charm, sir. I'm not very charmed. I mean, maybe it worked on Frenchie, but I don't know if that would necessarily work on me. And so I think I respect what he did, but he's still a target, at least by 3 people heading into next week, and that's not good. So I think I'm gonna give him a 5. I think a 5 is suitable.
Yeah, that's where I was at with Brent as well. And the reason being, I think that Brent has done a very good job of I sort of picture Brent as like a little like scurrying parasite, right? And he has burrowed in to the slaughterhouse, and he is like very well entrenched within it now. And if the slaughterhouse is going to, you know, run roughshod over this house and have a smooth ride to the end, then I think that he's going to be in a very dominant position because he has people on every corner. And he has been doing very well to set up this structure for himself. Now, you know, before we start saying he's the next coming of Cody Califuri, he has nothing beyond that. And he has nowhere near the strategic chops or the social chops of a Cody. He is already being targeted by most of the other side of the house at this point. And he is already rubbing people the wrong way. That's the biggest flaw here. We have people like Tiffany, people like Azza, people like Claire, already starting to talk about, well, we may need to target somebody like Brent. Tiffany, as we were talking, was trying to convince Big D to go after Brent. I don't know if she made much progress, but she is trying to get some kind of army against him. Now, this could really end up being who wins HOH next week and where does Brent go from there? And in some ways, because of that, I'm kind of smack dab in the middle on him. He could absolutely go up if Slaughterhouse takes power and he further entrenches himself within that structure. Or could be on the way out the door next week because somebody like Tiffany or Claire wins HOH and he's in big trouble because of that. So definitely some different ways that this could go. And right now I'm about at a 5 for him. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Sorry, it was like bad timing. I would have to agree with you guys on the 5 just because like I feel like I was very impressed. If we took just like the first half of the week, I would say I was very impressed with him because I do feel like he was able to totally ingratiate himself with Frenchie. After Frenchie was like, yeah, no, this is my target. This is it. And there's nothing that can be done. It's like, oh, actually, there is something that can be done. And Brent just did it. So I was very impressed with Brent in the beginning. However, halfway through the week, it seems like, you know, he's just gone a little too far. Where it's like, it's one thing to befriend the HOH, but it's another thing to become like his like right hand man. And, you know, and also like doing a lot of like
right up under him.
Right. And like, and gaslighting people and like making them feel inferior. And there's just like a bunch of bad vibes that are coming from him. And people are seeing it. People are noticing it. And even like Derek X, like, who at first was like, man, they're so right. I betrayed everyone. I did such a bad job. Now he's kind of like, wait a second. They're being a little much. Like, this is a little much. You know, Brent just constantly makes me like grovel to him. Like, I don't want to do that. And I feel like a lot of, you know, even starting next week, I think even if people are afraid to go after Frenchie, they're not too afraid to go after his right hand man. So I do think Brent's in a lot of danger moving forward if anybody else gets power. So that's why, even though I was impressed with him this week, I can't go higher than a 5 just because I think he has a lot of flaws in his game and the way that he talks to people. And I think people aren't going to want to deal with that moving forward.
Yes. All right. Well, the audience agrees with us on this one. They also gave Brent a 5. So it's going to be straight 5s for Brent on the Stockwatch score.
Right in the middle.
Right in that middle. So let's talk about Brittany. Brittany is an interesting one for me because I still don't really know where she is in all of this exactly, but I do think Brittany has potential. She is positioned decently between Frenchie and the sirens and all of that. She's not like a main target of anyone within the slaughterhouse. There are bigger threats than her. And she seems to have a decent head on her shoulders in terms of when to withhold information and when to give information. She's not the best socially, but she can hold her own. And I do think that she has like strategic chops. And I'm not sure where those chops are going to lead her necessarily, but I think that there's some potential here. Her biggest flaw for me is that she seems to just like randomly have it out for like specific people, particularly Hannah. And she just keeps talking about being threatened by Hannah and how smart she is. And
Hannah's the better dancer.
Is that it? Is that where it comes from?
Just saying.
Hannah has also recently, by the way, found Alyssa's ire, it seems, as Alyssa's been asking all day if Hannah, you think that like I'm the second choice for all the guys after Hannah? Like, where did this come from? But anyway, she is also kind of an easy out for somebody who's looking for like an easy nomination. But because of that, I think that she needs to, I think she needs to win something. I think she needs to start getting some power. And I'm going to say this of a lot of people because there's a power vacuum right now. Whoever wins and plays it well is going to do well in the game. So if she can win something soon, I think that would be very good for her. Or at the very least, have a solid ally that wins power that she doesn't drift away from, like Frenchie did. And, you know, rightfully so, again, with Frenchie. But she needs to get into some kind of true structure. She's in a couple of different groups, but she's not like in a solid place within them. So that's what I'm looking for with Brittany. So as I said, I do see some potential there. I also gave her a 6. That's where I'm at with Brittany. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on Brittany just because I don't really know like what her deal is yet. I feel like I thought that she was doing pretty well in getting in with certain groups, but now I kind of feel like she's kind of faded into the background and I don't really know if she's actually connected with these groups. I think that she has like kind of like a misperception of how other people perceive her. Cause she was talking about how like, she's really afraid that people are going to think she's like a comp beast and stuff, but like, she hasn't won anything. And like, and we were you were just saying literally that she like needs to win something. And I'm afraid that she's going to be like, oh, I don't want to be perceived that way. So I'm really not going to like go for these competitions. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that would be a really big mistake on her part to just be afraid that people would think that she was a comp beast. So she's purposefully not going to compete the way that she should. So I don't really know how I feel about her. I like that she's gotten in with some of the girls. I think that's good. But at this point, I just don't feel like I know enough about her and her strategy to really go up or down on her. So that's why I'm just going to come in at a flat 5.
All right, I'm on.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Taryn. I'm at a 6 with Brittany. She seems to just pop up on the feeds offering advice for everyone else's game. And it's like, girl, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So she is laying low. So that's always good in the beginning. Her name isn't really popping up, but she's also not, her name also really isn't popping up in terms of alliances. I think that out of all the alliances that we have going on, she's in what? 2 of them? 1 of them. Because
she's in the kisses, right?
And that
she's
does, in that we're not talking about that. We're not talking
that's
about
not sirens. Real, Taryn.
She's in sirens, and that's about it. Whereas all these other ones are popping up. So I just
can I just
like,
call it FK? Just call it.
Hopefully, we don't have to call it anything.
No, that makes it even worse.
Gone.
That sounds like it's. Oh no!
I don't like any of them.
I worry for her a little bit. I think it's interesting that she did the exact opposite of what most of us were expecting her to do, because based off of all of her casting footage, her preseason footage rather, it seemed like she was going to be a bit of a talker, but and she is, she does talk, she can talk, but she's, you know, she's very laid back and she's not really, you know, offering too much right now. So I need her to put her foot on the pedal a little bit and then we'll see what happens. So I'm going to give her a 6.
What's funny to me is that the very first time I heard the name Slaughterhouse as an alliance spoken on the feeds was Brittany to Azza, and I thought it was Brittany's idea for Azza and them. And now neither of them are in any of the Slaughterhouse permutations.
It's literally, it's every year. There's always the Destiny's Child Alliance every year that it's just rotation, rotation, rotation. You just never know who's going to be in it on any given day. And the next thing you know, you're out. You know what I mean? So it's very that, very that. Also, free Britney.
All right. So Britney got a 5 from the audience agreeing with Melissa on this one. So there we go with Britney. Melissa, where are you on Christian?
I don't really know, to be honest, because I feel like we can't really know where he truly is in the house because he's safe. Like right now, I just feel like it's like if he didn't win that wild card competition, he would be nominated, possibly going out the door. Who knows what would happen with veto? But also at the same time, like now that he won the wildcard competition, I think that people are looking at him as a huge threat. I mean, he wins a bunch of competitions. He's, you know, he's a dangerous character out there. So I am worried for him moving forward because I do think he kind of has to like win out. I don't know if he's truly in the slaughterhouse. Like I know that he, I guess, is part of the final version of it. But like, I don't know if Frenchie would actually like want to keep him around. I feel like I'm worried about him because I think people will try and target him. But at the same time, maybe he'll just win everything and then he will never have to worry about it. So I also don't know like how his strategic chops are. Like, I don't really know if he is actually good at the strategy because I haven't really been watching him talk game at all, really. So I feel very middling about him and I'm going to give him a 5.
All right. I'm a lot higher on Christian. And I think primarily because I genuinely see him as by far the biggest comp threat in the house. He has won in my, there is a way that you can look at things where Christian has won every single competition that he has played in. From the initial puzzle to the team puzzle that he was, he got like 2 attempts in before anybody had, had won. 2 attempts that his team, botched, and then got another like 2 before anybody else or before everybody else managed to finish their 1. He was very good at that, even though he technically lost it. It wasn't really on him. And then he went on to win the wild card competition. He has performed very well so far. Even just the way that he talks about competitions and like challenges, he thinks very strategically about that sort of thing. He always has some sort of edge, some sort of strategy that he's working on when competing in those things, not to mention the fact that he's obviously very physically fit, has, you know, great, all kinds of, you know, athletic ability. And as we've talked about, like, basically practices crapshoot carnival style games at home all the time. That was in his intro package. So I think that he's a huge threat to win a lot of these competitions. And on top of that, he's not a target at all anymore. Brent had tried to target him, and thus Frenchie tried to target him. But after that failed, he managed to talk them both, first Frenchie, then Brent, out of targeting him. Neither of those men want to target him anymore. He is firmly entrenched, not only in the power alliance of the people who tried to get him on the block and send him home this week that he needed to win that wildcard competition. He's not only now in an alliance with them, he's in the core of that alliance with them, which is, you know, certainly speaks a bit to Frenchie and Brent to some degree, but he has done a very good job of reintegrating himself with those people. And on top of that, unlike Brent, Christian has people on the outside of that group who are talking about how much they love him. He has a final two with Frenchie. He has a separate final two with Big D, Derek F. Derek F really likes Christian, has talked about it with other people like Tiffany, who also loves Christian. He has the support of some of his teammates like Xavier, who shouldn't really be supporting Christian at this point since Christian has been kind of bad-mouthing Xavier. He has the support of Sarah Beth when she shouldn't really be supporting him considering he's in a major alliance that she's not a part of. And he has been winning Alyssa over to his side as well. I think this guy is incredibly dangerous in this game. And for that reason, I gave him a 7. I think that he could absolutely pop up as another threat because he is so threatening. But right now, he's doing pretty well. And I would really keep an eye on this guy if I were anybody in that house. And nobody seems to be. And that's concerning.
Yes, I agree. I also gave Christian a 7. I think being in the Power Alliance, where you know, you're going to have the majority, assuming that Christian goes, or Travis goes home. You know, you're really set up very nicely. I mean, Derek, it's not really coming for him. Xavier is not really coming for him. Kylan's not really coming for him. And also, yeah, he does have a bit of some strategic props. I like that he and Kylan were staying up all night last night talking about, okay, well, if we are going to get rid of Travis this week, then we got to make sure that if the girl goes home next week, we cannot allow them to get the number. So he is constantly thinking about, okay, what do we got to do next? And yeah, the fact that he is so good at these comps, I'm hoping that we do get a crapshoot because I would love to see him perform in the second HOH to see how he performs in the crapshoot competitions. But yeah, he's in a really good spot, especially for someone who was, his name was on the tip of everyone's tongue at the beginning of this week. And now he's really fully ingratiated himself and he's charming. You know what I mean? He's got some little slop upside if we must, you know what I mean? So I think that Christian, you know, I think as long as he continues to do what he's doing, I think that he should be good. I think he is giving me everything that I thought that Brent was going to give me. That's why I chose him last and I chose Brent first, because I thought that Christian might have been a little bit too young. But Christian really comes off a little bit, you know, he's got a maturity to him that I think is attractive to a lot of people. And yeah, the fact that him and Alyssa are both staying after being like the number one showman's potential, and now they actually are sort of coming together and no one's really saying anything about it. I'm like, hello? So yeah, I'm up. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's looking like he's the Cody Califuri and not Brent. So we'll see what happens.
Yes.
Interesting. I'm just not seeing it. I don't know. I don't really see him as being, I don't know, maybe it'll happen eventually. But from my perspective, like, I just feel like the only reason he's not being talked about as a target is because, like, he couldn't be targeted. He like won that wildcard competition. He can't compete in any wildcard competitions moving forward. There's been talk that he has said he's not going to try and compete very well because he doesn't want to win a bunch of comps and be seen as a comp threat, which I think is a bad move on his part, because I do think that they'll like kick him out the second that they get a chance to. I think people still see him as a physical threat and they're worried about him. And I think that a lot of these, like, I mean, I guess part of it comes from the fact that I don't see the Slaughterhouse as being like full on, like, this is a real alliance that we have to be super worried about. I feel like right now we're worried about it because Frenchie's in power. But like, I do think that like next week, like, I don't know, like if someone else outside of the Slaughterhouse, like if someone inside the Slaughterhouse wins next week, we're screwed. But if someone outside the Slaughterhouse wins, like, it could have just been like a Frenchie's in power, that we're forming this thing so that way he likes us, you know, and now he's out of power. Like, who cares? I don't know. But I just, like, for me, I just don't really see it for Christian, just because, like, I'm not seeing like the strategy behind any of it. Like, I think, like, yeah, he is like a charming guy. Yeah, he is, you know, a physical competitor, but like, I haven't yet seen like good strategy coming from him. Like, I haven't seen like, okay, here's the game plan moving forward. I feel like it's been like, okay, well, I'm a charming guy and I'll get you to like me, which, yes, that's super important. But then, like, what do you do with that? Like, you need to do something with that in order to move forward. And so I'm just kind of like, that's why, like, I don't think he's a bad player by any means, but like, I haven't really seen like a 7 from him yet. And that's just like, I don't know.
I think the fact that he has, I mean, because you're right. I mean, if someone in the Slaughterhouse wins, like, Christian is going to once again be able to burrow himself in the thing that Natera was talking about with Brent. He's going to be able to do the exact same thing. And then, you know, further, you know, bunker down and create more relationships and really solidify things. And even if someone out, like some of the people that are not in the slaughterhouse are already talking about, like, Tiffany's not coming after Christian. She's coming after Brent. Oz is not even coming after Christian. She's thinking about putting DX up. And I'm like, what? Like, so the fact that people aren't even trying to say that they want to go after him, it's just like, that's, to me, that's why I'm like, okay, so what has he done for y'all that y'all are sitting here like, all right, well, Christian should be good. So many of them are saying, I think Christian's good. I think we should keep him around for a little bit longer. And that's dangerous because that's exactly what they did with Cody. It's like, oh, he's going to be fine. True. So that's why I'm like, hey, you know, and some of it might not, you're right, some of it may not specifically be Christian himself making sure that that happens, but I think that, you know, that does give credence to his social game. And so if he continues to do what he's doing, then, I mean, I think he might make it to jury at least. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's, you know, the house is crazy, so you never know. But I think the only person that is coming after him was DX when he was like, trying to throw him under the bus to Brent last night, saying like, oh, Christian, like, so he's a model, he's an actor, he must be a really good liar, that, you know, we should, you know, watch out for him. And it's like, yeah, that's an accurate read. I think you should watch out for Christian, but it's DX and no one really wants to listen to him, especially Brent.
Yes.
Well, the audience does agree with Melissa again. They gave him a five.
Woo. And I would have every single thing matching up with the audience if I had just stuck with my initial instinct for Alyssa and giving her a four. But you know what? Oh, well.
All right. Well,
can't win them all.
Let's talk about Claire. Amon, where are you on Claire?
I also have Claire at an 8, baby. I think that her and Ozzer are kind of playing similarly. That's why I sort of put them in the same realm. Claire is a little bit more social. Claire is a little, she's been, you know, a little bit more instrumental in creating a lot of these girls alliances. And she sort of is like the focal point of many of the girls. She's in the Sirens. She's in Jackpot. She's in the French Kiss. So I think that she's really got a nice thing going for her. Her name comes up here and there, but not too much. She's also sort of laying low. She's a fan of the show. She knows what's going on. I like the fact that she is also sort of on a similar wavelength with Tiffany in response to next week of being like, do we really want to be targeting Derek X? Like, that seems like, I feel like that's not a good idea. And she was even offering up a little bit of advice for Derek X earlier this morning. So I'm like, okay, like, she seems like she's trying to, you know, get her teeth, sink her teeth into the next week. And so I think that Claire is in a really good spot. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from her. Look, you can be from Big Brother Twitter and you can either be Frenchie or you can be Tiffany or Claire. And right now, be a Tiffany or Claire. It's an 8 for me.
Yes. Well, I am also at a 7 for Claire. I feel very good about Claire. I think that she is a more capable player than somebody like Christian. Maybe a little bit less capable in the competitions and in a slightly worse position in terms of the structure of the house right now. So it kind of balances out to some degree. Right now, I think that Claire is a lot more likely to stay at a 7 or above than Christian is, but I think right now they're about equal in the sense that it balances out. And that's because Claire is, you know, she's doing well. She, as you said, she's more social than somebody like Azza, but not quite as social as a lot of the people in the, you know, the big majority right now. She primarily socializes with the people that she gets along with, mostly the women, a little bit of, you know, like a Derek X here and there. I would love to see her branch out a little more if possible, but it is early days and I think that she's doing enough right now. Now, again, if somebody from the slaughterhouse ends up, if like a Christian or a Brent win the next HOH, then she's really going to have to step up her game because it's going to get into that sort of race to halt this big majority before it becomes unstoppable. But as of right now, she still has some potential here. And she also seems to know that she needs to try to win that HOH. And that she does not necessarily want to go after the, you know, who she perceives to be the big targets, like Derek X. She also doesn't want to go after Christian, but, you know, it is how it is. And so what I really love is that she has gotten herself into a good position on the outside. So we don't have a proper counter alliance to the slaughterhouse right now. However,
the
many
vegans.
Of the people, we don't have the vegans, but many of the people who are on the outside of it have formed various subgroups within themselves. There's not one big group to tie it all together. I think that would definitely get put together if one of them won an HOH, but it doesn't exist right now. I think Claire would be well positioned in that bigger group if it were to exist. And so I think she's in a prime position to sort of like jump off from here. So I do feel good about Claire. Just a couple of concerns about the social element of her game. But she definitely knows what she's doing, and I'm very excited to see her continue play throughout the season. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I give Claire a 7. I'm very impressed with her so far. I think that she's doing a good job of, you know, building bonds and, you know, connecting with people on a personal level, while also, you know, getting in there with the strategy, but not too much. I think that she's more so laying low than some of the other players, which like normally I would say is a great thing, but I am a little worried that by that, like maybe things are, I do feel like the game is a little bit different now where it's not like, you know, how we used to always say like, oh, go to sleep for the first like 6 weeks or whatever, and then just like wake up halfway through and then you're able to play. I think that you can't really do that anymore. I think you need to be like ingratiated into these alliances, maybe not the big giant alliance, but at least enough alliances that you can counter that, that big alliance. And so I think she's generally in a good position. But like you guys said, like, I do think there needs to be a counter alliance to the Slaughterhouse, and it can't just be, you know, the jackpot. Like as great as I love, as much as I love the jackpot, it's like, you can't have four people going up against eight and win. Like it doesn't work like that. So I do think that they need to like kind of get a, like now that Sarah Beth knows about the Slaughterhouse, like they need to do something. Like she needs to tell that to the jackpot, which I don't know if she will, but I do think that that information needs to be shared and they need to figure out a plan because, you know, if they stay on the outs for too long and it gets to the point where it's them versus Slaughterhouse, like they will lose. So we just have to hope that that happens. But yeah, at this point, Claire's a 7 for me.
All right. Well, the audience is a little bit lower on Claire. They gave her a 6.
Wow. That's supposed to be your girl. Damn.
I know. I'm kind of surprised. I thought they would. I honestly thought they'd go higher.
I don't know. That's, we found the pocket of the internet that is not, I guess, I mean, still, I will say, I guess I will say this. She is the, the fourth highest. There are three people above her in the ratings. One of which was Azza. They actually rated Azza slightly higher than Claire.
Interesting.
There you go. Let's move on to Derek F. Let's talk about Derek F, aka Big D. And this is an interesting one for me, because I think that Big D, he's in a good spot. Like nobody is coming anywhere near Big D anytime soon. I think he's going to be here for a while, but he is so messy. And I just don't know that I see a winner in him. I just don't know that he has that gear. He doesn't want to win competitions. He doesn't want to make any big moves himself. He just wants to get into people's ears about his own agenda, about taking out women and stuff. I just don't see a winner in him. That said, it is so early to really bring him down because of that I'm kind of going to land at around a 5 here for Big D. But I don't expect this to go up unless he changes his game dramatically. I would expect it to only go down from here. It's so early and I've seen so little of him that I want to kind of try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's just tough to see like a good game come from him here. And really like the position that he's in, the safety of his position is carrying a lot of this rating. Aman, what do you think?
Yeah, I have him higher strictly because of the fact that he is so well insulated. I put him at 7, but I do worry a lot. It's a very low 7, if that makes sense, because I just remember watching him having the conversation with Azza about like, all right, they were like preparing dinner the other night, and he's like, okay, so which girl do you want to get out of here? Cause one of y'all got to go. And I'm like, that's not how you talk. to somebody that you want to, you know, work with. And like, granted, like, yeah, they're in the cookout or whatever, there's a level of familiarity there, but it felt very much like, yeah, it seems like he's really depending on getting in ears as opposed to winning power himself, which is a strategy, is a viable strategy. But if you're going to do that, then you need to be able to finesse people. And I don't necessarily know if he's able to do that quite yet. I think that even Oz's response didn't really seem gung-ho. She kind of seemed reluctant to even answer his question because he was so forceful with it. Even with a whisper, he's like, okay, so who do you want next? I'm like, oh God, like, y'all just cooking, like, have a good time tonight? So yeah, I do worry about him. But I think that everybody loves him. He'll definitely be here for quite some time. And so maybe his winner's equity has the potential to grow. So I'll keep him at a 7 for now because I think there's a lot of potential there.
All right.
Melissa. I'm going to give him a 4. I'm kind of disappointed in him, to be honest. Like, I feel like his social game is there, but I don't think his strategy or, you know, strategic game is there. I think that he's putting his eggs in the wrong basket. I think his eggs should be in the cookout basket. And instead, I feel like he's in the Frenchie basket. And
he's frying those eggs.
He's frying those eggs. And I think that, you know, it's possible that this is like his strategy where it's like, whoever's HOH, he's just going to be like, I'm with you. Or like, I'm attracted to you, or whatever he's doing with Frenchie right now. And like, maybe that's his thing, is that like every time a person gets to be HOH, he goes like gung ho, like, I'm on your side. Like, this is, you know, we're together. Maybe that's what it is. But at this point, I'm concerned that he is like, Frenchie's my number one. Like, we're together. And I could care less about the cookout. And like, and also, I just want to get a bunch of women out. Like, I just feel like the strategy, like the thought process behind it, like, I just don't understand it. And I think that it makes me worried for him moving forward. I think that he could be in a great spot, like, socially, but if strategically he's not knowing which direction to go in and he picks the wrong allies, like, I just don't think it's going to be good for him. And I'm worried, to be honest, because I like him a lot. So I don't know.
I just don't know what's going on with him and Frenchie. I don't understand.
Frenchie's a man.
I don't understand.
Like, look,
the boy.
Look, to each their own, to each their own. But with that being said, to each their own. What the?
Yeah. I'm very confused.
I mean, you know what? Look, they're sequestered. They've been, you know, away from civilization, and I'm sure under them hot Big Brother studio lights, things will arise. But that was just something that I did not see coming.
No.
But, you know, who am I to, you know, step in the way of anybody's happiness? If that's the word we're using for it.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I have no idea.
The audience is with me on this one, actually. The audience gave Big D a 5. 5 out of 10 for Big D.
All right.
Let's talk about Derek X. Amon, let's start with you. We know that you are a big Derek X fan. How do you feel about his game?
I gave Derek X a 3. So I don't want anybody to ever tell me that I am being biased. I saw somebody tell me that I was being biased against Christian because he's in my draft. That's not the case. I think that Christian's playing an excellent game. And if I was going to be biased against anybody, it would have been Derek X. But I got to give the guy a 3. He just, it's just too little too late, as JoJo sang back in 2004. It's just not he's just, I mean, we've talked about it at length pretty much throughout the entire podcast. And I think, like I said before, he is definitely on the up and up. I think that there's definitely potential. I like a lot of the conversations that he had today. And so, and I'm really hoping that either he wins HOH or someone that's not in the slaughterhouse can win HOH. And that's not Azza, because Azza is thinking about putting him up. But hopefully Ozzy can be talked down by other people. I'm hoping that he can get a chance to really just ingratiate himself even more so, because people do like him. He's very charming. He's smart. Like, so he has the makings. Everything is there. He just has to get the people. Like, right now he doesn't have, it's like Davon and Big Brother 17. Everybody loved her, but she didn't have any allies. You need the allies or else you're screwed, bruh. So I want to see you do well. I don't want to see him go. But right now, it's, his game is just not there right now. So it's a 3.
Mm-hmm. Derek X is in a weird position for me as well. I think that if I'd done this rating like 2 days ago, I probably would have given him like a 2. Yesterday, maybe a 3. I feel like I'm it's pushing a 4 for me. Like I'm thinking about it, mostly because of what I heard from him today, which was expressing to Tiffany that he feels like he's regretting the decision to use the veto in the way that he did. And that he feels like, well, we can't just let Frenchie run away with this thing. We need to, you know, potentially put a stop to him. And, we need to make sure that, you know, that like if Frenchie's structure essentially remains in place, then I'm going to be at the bottom of it for the rest of this game, or for the rest of my time here. And that was a very like, prescient thing to say from a guy that barely knows this game. And it told me that like some of the promise that casting producer and, a few of us saw in him does exist. He has to catch up. And I think that can happen, because while he is being talked about as a potential target next week, when next week comes around, is anybody really going to want to bother with Derek X? There are some people that might, but you do have people like Tiffany trying to get into people's ears and protect him. She's already been working on Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth is one of those ones that was like, she has no business targeting Derek X.
I was so shocked when she said that.
I think Tiffany understands that, and Tiffany has been in Sarah's ear, trying to get that to stop. A lot of people like Christian, who was targeting Derek X, is now like, don't want another man to leave. I need to make sure a woman leaves. So that's, you know, that's beneficial. I'm tempted to give him the 3, but he is obviously a lot safer than Alyssa right now. And I do think he has some upside that Alyssa may not at the moment. And so I am going to give him the 4. It's barely a 4, and it might be too generous. And I may look back at this and be like, I was just too hopeful, because I like the guy. But, I think that there's some potential here. And, I'm hoping that because he is, with Tiffany and she has been like tutoring him on the game, that this improvement that I saw today can continue. And so that's my read on it. And I'm hoping for it. I'm expecting it. I'm going to give him a 4 for now, and we're going to see where that goes. Despite the fact that, you know, I spent all this time talking it up, which is why I'm up at a 4. But there's a lot of negative to talk about when it comes to Derek X. First of all, is using the veto when I don't think he should have. The fact that he got himself in this position to begin with, and all kinds of things regarding his social game, his strategic game, that he is not doing particularly well. He doesn't know the game very well. It's a lot of reasons to be down on his game. But I also think there are a couple of things that we can be kind of optimistic about. So that's why I went with a 4. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I would give him... I'm going to give him a 3 because I think that's a 3 with the potential to go up, because you guys are right in that, like, just now, more recently, we've started to see him kind of regret some of the choices that he had made and kind of understand, like, it seems like the wheels have started to turn where it's like, oh, like moving forward, I think I know what I did wrong, so I cannot do that again. At least that's the hope. And it kind of seems that way. And I also think that he sees through Frenchie and Brent's antics. I think that even though he's been sitting there, like, you know, groveling at their feet and saying, like, you know I betrayed you. I'm so awful. I'm the worst game player ever. Like, please forgive me. I think that he also, like, you know, when he's talked to other people, like in retells of the conversations, like, it does seem to me that he's like, he recognizes that they're kind of laying it on way too thick, and that, like, he's just saying what he knows that they want to hear, and he knows how to, like, appease them. So I do think that I could see moving forward that he does better. However, like, I really just can't go above a 3. I mean, he's made so many errors in 1 week. And the fact that even now, like, I mean, he needs to put in the work to save Travis. And instead he's like, I guess I'll be a swing vote, maybe. And probably not. And it's like, I think that, you know, he still has a chance here to save Travis, but I do think it's really important that he he work hard to save him, but at the same time, he can't work too hard. Like, he can't be the only person fighting for it. It needs to just be like led by Travis, turns into an organic thing, but he needs to assist because he needs to keep his, he's literally letting go his best friend when he had the option to keep him. Instead, he's keeping Kylan, who really doesn't care about him all that much. I mean, he thinks he's a nice guy, but he doesn't care about him strategically. So I really think he's made so many errors this week, but I see him possibly improving next week. So that's why I think three that could go up.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I talked myself up to the four that I wasn't going to give him. And even just in thinking about it afterward, I can't give him the four.
No, I can't. I want the four.
I can't. And the reason is that I think it's in part because I was grading him on a scale. I was thinking of him as like, he doesn't know the game and he's quickly learning. And so because of that, like I'm optimistic about him. But he made one of the worst mistakes you can make in the early portion of the game. And you can't go above a three for that. You know, abandoning an ally, not only abandoning, but like actively putting your ally in harm's way is just
right. Like, you are the reason, you know, that your best friend and best ally is going to go on the block if you use this veto, and he uses it anyway.
Like
there's a difference between like, oh, I lose my ally because he's on the block and I can't go against the house because it's an, like, you know, it needs to be unanimous. It's the first week. Like, there's that thing versus like, I have the veto and I get him put up. It doesn't matter. Kai doesn't care about him.
Kai doesn't care.
But also, why did he promise him? But why did he promise? Like, he shouldn't have promised him. Yeah, Kai doesn't think so.
If Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6 is the pure example of like a one out of the gate, terrible HOH reign, targeted his own ally, it didn't show a lot of promise moving forward from that moment, then like Derek is like, he only had the veto and he shows a bit of promise. And it's not like Ryan where he knows the show and he should have known better. He's got some potential to learn and get better. And the thing is, he's just not that much better than what Ryan did to warrant a four. I think a three is appropriate. And I hope that he goes up from here. But, you know, we'll see.
I mean, the more and more that I think, well, now I want to give him the damn four, because the more and more I think about it, I'm like,
you do it.
I'm like, you know, like, yes, there are people in the slaughterhouse that would come after him. But like, I mean, if Whitney wins, she can't go after him. If Brent wins, he can't go after him because they're on the same team. And then, you know, that does leave Alyssa, Xavier,
six.
Christian, Xavier and Alyssa have free reign to go after him. Sarah has been talking about it, but I think that she can be talked down. Tiff is not going to do it. Claire is not going to do it. Oz, hopefully with the influence of Claire and Tiff, are not going to do it. So there, you know, it's not as clear cut that he goes up. Derek F is not going to win the competition. He's going to throw it. So he's not going to put him up. And he was one of the people that was coming after Derek X. Brittany, I don't think is coming after Derek X. So I think right now there are only three solid people that will come after him. Kylan is going to throw it. So there is, you know, there's potential. I think it's more likely that he stays safe than maybe we're anticipating. I'm giving him the four. Screw it.
Boom. There we go. Well, I can tell you that the audience almost agreed with me, but ended up agreeing with Amon instead because they also went with a four. So there we go.
They're not going to do my boy like this. They're not going to do it.
That was like if Frenchie was doing these Stockwatch ratings. So all the back and forth.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of, let's talk about Frenchie. Let's talk about. Let me get the audience out of the way on this one. The audience gave Frenchie a two, the lowest rating so far. A two for Frenchie from the audience. Melissa, how do you feel about Frenchie?
This is a tricky one, I have to say, because like I do think that he did pretty terribly on his first HOH week. I think he made a bunch of wrong moves. I think he, you know, made himself look like a total hypocrite. At the same time, like, it feels like everybody in the house is falling for it. Like, I feel like they're still like on his side and want to work with him. I feel like even after the fact, like, I haven't heard a lot of like, oh my God, we got to get Frenchie out of this house. I've heard a lot of like, let's get Brent out. I don't know if we can target Frenchie. And I don't know whether that's like, okay, Frenchie is HOH still, so they just don't want to like upset him or whatever, because like he can still kind of control the votes. Or if it's like genuine that they really don't feel like they can target him next week because they feel like he's too protected, they feel like he's too powerful, whatever. But it seems like it's going to be okay for him next week. I don't feel like he's an immediate target, which is a little concerning to me, I guess. But, you know, I mean, we can't discount the fact that everything was bad for this week for him. Like, it just was all wrong. It was all bad. There was no strategy there. It was really just like whichever way the wind blew and whichever who was the last person to talk to him. And he was convinced by literally everyone of everything. And then he also was like very condescending to Derek X and to others. It was like, what is going on here? Like, I didn't understand the strategy behind any of it. It all seemed to be very emotion driven. So don't love that. And don't love the idea of him moving forward in the game. You know, I don't really have a lot of faith that strategically he's like all there. But I don't feel like I can give him a 2 like the audience did, just because I do think people would like to ride with him in the future. Like, I think that they want to go far with him, and I'm a little worried about that. I think his moves alone, I would bring him way down. But because of the way the house is reacting to him, I can't bring him as low as I would like to. And so I'm going to have to give him a 4.
Yeah. That's honestly where I am as well. And this is sort of the opposite of the Alyssa rating for me, where like, I think Alyssa is like base, probably like a 6, but her position is putting her in at a 3. Frenchie to me at a base is like a 2 at best. Mm-hmm. And like, he clearly has so little potential as a player, but winning the first HOH is so unbelievably powerful in this game. Mm-hmm. And, the fact of the matter is, he hasn't done as bad as he could from this point, right? Like, the worst first HOH reigns in terms of the positioning it puts the HOH themselves is when they take a very hard stance, they put up 2 people, and then the house revolts against them, and they are in the minority, you know, going out of that week. And they are a big target going out of that week because they're the biggest competition threat in the minority. That's the worst place you can be as an outgoing HOH. And that's not where he is. He is in the majority coming out of this week. Even if the slaughterhouse fails, he's still in with the people not in the slaughterhouse enough that he's certainly not a target. And he's surrounded himself with people who are considerably bigger threats than him. There's a reason why Brent is being targeted and not Frenchie right now. One of those reasons, I should say there are many reasons why, but one of those reasons is that Brent is just a much more threatening player in general. People would much rather see Brent be targeted than somebody like Frenchie, who, you know, he's got those small arms. So I think that those things kind of combine into him not really being a threat and potentially not being looked at for a little while. And if he's not in power, he has the potential to kind of just evolve into the non-threatening, all right, Frenchie's going to Frenchie, but we don't need to worry about that. These are the big threats. There's the Brent. He actually knows what he's doing. We need to target him. Christian actually knows what he's doing. We need to target him. This Frenchie guy, we can just leave him to, you know, play with his rubber ducks or whatever. With that in mind, you know, I've got Frenchie at a 4. I would have loved for it to be lower, but unfortunately, it's not. So sorry, guys. I'm on. What do you think?
Look. Frenchie, he has made such a mess of his game this week. I still don't understand how you become a GOAT week one. That to me is just like the biggest accomplishment of all. There's a lot of, you know, we love Frenchie sentiments going around the house. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that he is the first HOH. But that being said, that HOH was a mess. He didn't tell anybody who he was putting up. Lenny put them up. Then all of his reasons were roundabout and circuitous logic. It was a mess. Then he's like turning on his own alliance, you know, getting in Xavier's ass about talking about, oh, was that a threat? Then ostracizing Kylan. Then all of this BS regarding the veto with Derek. Like, do not, if you crawl into my bed at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to get me to use a veto, I'm getting expelled. I'm getting expelled. Do not crawl in my bed asking me to use a veto. It's just not going to happen. If he continues this behavior into the next coming weeks, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to continue to be the goat that gets dragged all the way into the end because no one's going to vote for him. Or he's out of here. That's the only thing that I can see. When it comes to Frenchie, there is no medium. There's no medium with him. It's either one or the other. So you know what, Frenchie? You want to play Big Brother games, you're going to win a Big Brother Twitter prize, okay? I'm giving you the one. Get out of here.
There you go. The audience is going to get their pound of flesh here. And there it is for Frenchie. A one from Amon. Let's move on to Hannah. Let's talk about Hannah. I'm totally lost on Hannah. I have no idea.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you even go with this? Go ahead.
Well, I totally agree. I don't really know what to do for her. And honestly, like when I don't really know, I usually just tend to like give a five. However, I do feel like she's not involved in any of the main alliances, like even the smaller ones. I don't really feel like she's involved in really any alliances. And the fact that people are, and normally it's like, okay, well, she has time. It's only the first week. But the fact that people are already talking about targeting her is concerning, especially because she's not really doing anything. So it's like, well, what are you targeting her for? I don't really know like what her deal is. I don't feel totally neutral on her. I feel like I'm a little bit leaning negative just because she's not really involved, but also being targeted, which doesn't really make sense, but that's the way it is. So I'm going to give her a four.
Yeah, I'm feeling somewhat similarly. I was leaning toward like a four or five. I think just for uncertainty alone. But I have heard a lot of people talk about Hannah unfavorably. Like she doesn't really have anybody that likes her even. She's so easy to throw up as a nominee next week. I think I do have to go with the four from Hannah. I would love to see this change. I do think there's potential there, but I've barely even seen her play the game. So I don't know where else to go from here. Amon, what do you think?
Well, I'm not going to give her a four because I have DX at a four, and I think that she's in a better position than DX. So I'm going to go ahead and give her the five, but I agree with everything that you guys just said. I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm not really sure what the disconnect is. It could be her age. It's why I was sort of hesitant in choosing her for my draft. I think that Hannah is just cool. I think Hannah is a really cool kid. I think that she, obviously, she's really smart. She dances. I think that she has this aura about her that I think might be off-putting to other people because it might seem that she's just, you know, I don't want to say that she's like conceited because I don't think that it's necessarily that vibe, but I don't think that she is out here trying to, you know, be out for the camera. She's not trying to grab attention. She's just very self-assured and maybe her personality just isn't vibing with the house, but I don't think it's necessarily a negative personality. I think that she is who she is and she's playing the game as she sees fit. And I think that that might be a little bit threatening for other people because maybe they expected something different from her. Maybe they expected her to be a little bit more, you know, oh, be my friend. Let's talk. But she's really not doing that. And so people might get threatened. But I think that there's still some potential there. I mean, she did sort of, you know, get into a bit of a conversation with French Kiss. I hate for that to be like the first bit of a lines talk that we see from her. What a low bar that is. But I still think that she's in a better position than some of the other people in the house. She is an easy nom, depending on who gets the HOH. But there are still people that are coming after DX before they come after her, which is unfortunate. So I'm going to give her the five.
All right. The audience, it's a close one, but they do agree with Amon on this one. They gave her a five. Five from the audience for Hannah. Let's talk about Kyland. This one is another tough one for me, less because there's a lack of information and more because there are a lot of good things to his game. Position-wise, he's in the slaughterhouse. He's in with the cookout. He's got Sarah Beth as an in with the women. He's in a great spot. He has people falling over themselves to work with him and trust him and give him information. But what he has done with that information and those people has been very frustrating. I don't love the decision-making coming from Kyland. And I do not trust him in the game to make good calls. Now, I don't think I can go as low as a 4 for him. I think that he has caused a lot of the trouble that he has been in, but he did have somebody willing to use the veto on him. He almost got targeted, but he had people willing to use the veto on him. He is a potential target moving forward as well. But I think his overall likability and position are strong enough to give him at least a 5 from me, despite a very rough first week of action from him that I really was not much of a fan of. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I've been very frustrated with him. I don't feel like he has the strategic mind for the game. I think that you're right in that, like, all of the things that it's doubly frustrating because he's been given so much information. He's been put in such a good position, he's gaining all these allies, and yet he's doing all the wrong things, and he's saying the wrong things, and he's allying himself with the wrong people. And it's like, I just don't understand. I mean, it really like hit home for me when when he was talking about Derek X and saying he was like, oh, I wish I didn't have to target him next week. It's like, he's literally like saved you. He used the veto, kicked out his number one ally to save you. He would be loyal to you. Don't you see that? And now you're just like, yeah, nope, we got to kick him out. Oh, that sucks. It's like, are you for real? Everything he's done so far has frustrated me. But people really do like him, so he does get points for that. But I just feel like he's not making the right moves. And like you said, like, I don't have faith that he's going to make the right calls strategically. I just don't. I think he's going to mess things up for people. I mean, I think like, I did like the fact that he told about the slaughterhouse, but at the same time, it's like, that might have been a bad move on his part, you know, to reveal that. Like, I don't know. And so I just don't feel good about his game. And I think that it's going to get him into trouble later. And I think he's making the wrong call with saying he needs to target Derek X. So I'm going to give him a 4.
All right, I'm on.
I'm going to give Kyland a 6. I agree with everything that you guys just said. But I think the thing that's pulling it up for me is the fact that he is very likable. Yes, some of the strategy isn't always sound. But I'm giving all of them sort of like the benefit of the doubt for this week, because of the fact that this has just been such a crazy week that it is kind of hard to even have a strategy. But yeah, I don't like the fact that he's so willing to get rid of Derek X. It doesn't really make much sense. But I think that he is still pretty well liked and well insulated, especially now that he is in the slaughterhouse. Yes, Frenchie is certainly anti-Kyland, but Frenchie, guess what, buddy? You don't have power anymore after this week. I don't think that Brent's going to come after Kyland because Brent is so focused on keeping things in the slaughterhouse, you know, succinct and clear. I don't think that Christian would come after Kyland. And even if he had any inklings about it, Sarah's on his team. She might try to steer him away from that. I think there's still some room for him to sort of, you know, get his sea legs working and maybe, you know, putting something together, especially with the other side of the house, if they are so anti-Kyland. So, yeah, he was my first draft pick, and I won't say that I'm regretting it entirely because I think that there is something there, but he's not giving what I thought he was going to be giving. And also just another reminder to just be as kind as possible, because he has spoken at length at this point about how his anxiety is a big reason as to why it can sometimes take him a lot of time to sort of get his thoughts and organize them and present them in a reasonable fashion, which is why I'm so happy that he has somebody like Sarah there who is extremely patient with him and understands him, and they're able to talk game and bounce. Like, I'm so glad, because that's a very, very type pair. And I think that she does make him a better player because they're able to sort of go back and forth. So I'm scared for Kylan. I am, but I'm going to give him a 6. Because I think he's still ultimately in a better position than a lot of other people in the house.
All right. Well, the audience is going to agree with Melissa on this one. They gave Kylan a 4. A 4 there for Kylan from the audience, 5 from me, 4 from Melissa, and 6 from Aman. Let's move on to Sarah Beth. Let's talk about Sarah. Sarah, I'll say the audience right away. The audience gave Sarah a 6. It was a close one, but they gave her a 6 out of 10 for Sarah. Aman, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I have Sarah. See, now I don't know what I would just do. I think I'm gonna stick with my original rating. I have Sarah at a. Okay, I'm gonna put her right next to Kylan. I think I'm gonna give her a 6. I had her at a 7, but since some of my ratings have sort of shifted around and looking at what I've already put down, I don't think that I can keep her at the 7 at this point because of the fact that she's not in the majority alliance and the fact that she knows about the majority alliance. And yes, this was the first day that she, you know, really could have used that information. And so maybe she'll use it tomorrow. We'll see. But I think because she's being so loyal to Kylan right now that she doesn't want to expose it. And I'm like, that might not be the best option for you. You already said to Kylan's face, like, well, the only concern that I have is I'm not in this big alliance and you are. And later down the line, that might, you know, spell bad news for me. Especially when I think almost everybody else in her team is in the alliance. Christian, Xavier, and Alyssa are all in the alliance. And all she has to do is expose it, but she doesn't want to do it. So I don't know. I think that she's similar to Kylan. There's like a lot of potential there, but I just need to see her, you know, actually enact. But she does have 2 girls alliances that are keeping her safe on the other side. Her name has come up a little bit, but I still think that she's above some of the other players. I'm going to keep her at a 6.
Melissa.
Yeah. I am a little disappointed in Sarah Beth, and I think it's not necessarily her fault. I think that she is putting too much trust in Kai, and I think that that's a bad idea. I think that she should not have revealed the jackpot to him. I mean, the fact that he revealed a little bit to her, but didn't reveal the cookout, I think that that is concerning because it shows to me that she's not necessarily his number one ally. Like he is to her. And I think that that's dangerous that she told Kai about the jackpot, especially because I don't think Kai is trustworthy. I think that he might not even know that he shouldn't like reveal that to people. I think that he just will possibly go out and tell the cookout if in fact the cookout is his number one. Like, I mean, I'm worried for her. I think that she put too much trust in him, and I think that that's not a good move. Although at the same time, like, I do think she's in a good position because I think that a lot of people want to work with her. At least she's in the jackpot, and I like that alliance, and I think that that alliance could do really well. And, you know, I don't think she's like a target next week or anything like that. So I do think that, you know, she has a little bit of time. So I'm going to give her, I'm giving her a 5.
So I was probably at a 7 for Sarah prior to last night when had that conversation with Kylan. But I did not love the response that she had to finding out that there was a majority alliance that she was not in. Mm-hmm. Her response was essentially, okay, well, I'm still going after Derek X, who has doesn't even think about me at any point. And so far has not done much in response to this. I mean, you know, if you hear that there's a majority alliance that you're not a part of in week one, you should be worried. And she does not seem worried enough. And that's concerning to me, but I still think she has a lot of potential. So I went with a 6 here as well.
Just quick question. After she found out about the majority alliance, has the jackpot like met or had any sort of discussion? Because I'm wondering if she is going to reveal that to them, but she just hasn't yet because they haven't met, or that they've met and talked and she didn't say anything.
She's talked with Tiffany and she did not tell Tiffany that she had about the slaughterhouse, but her conversation with Tiffany included Tiffany speculating that that Frenchie probably made an alliance with the guys, and she was like, yeah, probably. So like, no, she hasn't really said anything.
I just think that, like, I think it's a mistake that she's not, I don't know, I guess maybe I have too much faith in the jackpot, but like, my thought is like, when they formed that, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is their true alliance, and they have these like other side alliances, that's fine, but like, this should be it. And instead it's like, it doesn't feel like Sarah Beth is in it all the way. I feel like she's in with Kai and then is kind of using the jackpot as like a side thing, which I think is a big mistake on her part.
And I don't think she needs to like be like, Kylan told me that there's an alliance called the Slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Nor does she even need to say there's an alliance called the Slaughterhouse, but she should be encouraging anyone she can to target anybody that is within that group.
Right, and exactly.
She has no business saying that she's going to target Derek X because of whatever reason. When Tiffany says, hey, we should target Brent, she should be like, yeah, yeah, and Christian too, and everybody else. Right. Like,
She said to Kylan, like, let's target, or I want to target Derek X, or whatever she said, like, because she's like, I don't want him, if he is actually like in this Slaughterhouse Alliance, I don't want him to go back to them being like, oh, she's coming after us. Like, maybe she doesn't fully trust him.
And I don't think so. She mentioned targeting Derek prior to the conversation with Kylan with Jackpot. She talked about it after the conversation with Kylan with other people. Like, Derek X has been the person that she's telling everybody she's going after. Because I did see some people say like, oh, well, she was probably just lying, but I really don't think so. She was in a conversation with Tiffany where Tiffany was like, please don't target Derek X. And she was like,
doesn't make any sense.
And speaking of Derek X, let's just roll back on his ass for a second. I can't believe that he was talking to Tiffany today, talking about, oh, yeah, Frenchie told me that he has the numbers, which is why he was guaranteeing me safety if I did not use it, or if I used the veto on Alyssa. But then he was like, I don't think that's true. I don't think he had any numbers. What? Why wouldn't that be true? Thank God he told that to Tiffany, who actually has some marbles in her head and is like, all right,
literally.
Okay, good to know.
I feel like Tiffany is helping Derek X for sure. Like, every conversation he has with Tiffany, like, he leaves it like more strategic and smarter. Like, I just feel like she's really helping him, like, as a coach. And I really do hope that that kind of like maintains and she's able to kind of like mold this like super player.
Yes. All right. So, next up, we have Tiffany herself, and I'll start with Tiffany. She's my favorite player in the game. I think she's also doing the best in the game, and I think she is just full to the brim with potential. She is in a great spot. She's not in like the best spot in the world. It's not like she is in charge of a massive structure of, you know, whatever. But she's in a great spot with the outside group, so to speak. She's still not nearly anywhere close to being targeted with the majority, quote unquote, group. She has a lot of personal connections with a lot of different people. The flaws that people like Azza and Claire have in that they're not social enough with people outside of their own group, non-existent with Tiffany. She talks with everyone. She has a great relationship with everyone. Nobody sees her as a threat quite yet. She's willing to win HOH and make a move. She's trying to get Brent targeted, which is a great shot to take. I love everything that she's doing. If her positioning was better, I would go even higher on this, but I gave her an 8 out of 10, and she is my player to watch for the season so far. I just feel like there's something special here, and I really, really want to see her succeed. Amon, what do you say?
Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Y'all know it's coming. Y'all know it's coming. I gotta do it for that. I gotta do it. Tiffany is getting a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, baby. Yes. Look. Before people, you know, are all up in arms about how could you do this? That means you think that she's Dan Gies and like, look, no, y'all know I don't rate that. You guys know that I do not rate that way. So don't even come at me with that stuff. Look, Tiffany has been giving us everything that we want to see in a Big Brother player. She's funny. She's charismatic. She has all of these house guests wrapped around her finger, literally as she's braiding their hair. Wrapped around her finger. She's just such an effervescent personality within the house. Nobody wants to target her. No one's really saying her name. like Taryn said, the slaughterhouse, they're not really coming for her. She's got so many connections all over the house with the girls' alliances, with the cookout, with the people within the slaughterhouse, with the people within the butchers. She's everywhere without even really being everywhere. She did exactly what she said she was going to do in her preseason. My biggest concern with Tiffany in the preseason was that, was she going to precipitate? Was she going to, you know, take all of the information that she was getting from everyone else and being able to actually use it? Was she going to be able to make connections and, you know, give people tidbits here and there? And she's doing that. She's doing, and she's doing it with the correct people. She's doing it with people like Derek X, who don't really have a lot of people, so that she can mold them and groom them into, you know, potentially being an ally for her. She's got something with Claire. She's got something with everybody. It's so good to watch. And it's just, it's so refreshing seeing it from somebody who is a little older. And not that 40 is old. 40 is not old by any means, but by BB standards, it's older. And I also just love that this is coming from someone that we don't necessarily see on Big Brother a lot of the time, an African-American mother. You know what I mean? An older African-American mother. This is like something that we haven't seen. Like, this is like since Jocasta, and we all know how Jocasta's story ran out. So this is just, you know, this is so, it's so special to me. I she's just been such a joy to watch on feeds, and I just love that she's so unapologetically herself. And you know, I won't say that I was completely wrong in the preseason. I definitely thought that there was a lot of upside, but she wasn't really giving it in the preseason, but now she's giving it on the live feeds. And I just have to give her a 10 because I think that she has just been the best part of this entire first week of Big Brother 23.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I absolutely love Tiffany. She's my favorite player right now. I think that she is so, she really gives us everything we want in a player. I mean, she's strategic. She's a super fan of the show. And she's so entertaining and funny. And I just love everything about her. I always want to watch the feeds when she's on. I just think that we haven't seen someone like her in a long time. And I just feel I'm so happy with what we're getting from her. I mean, like, this is what we want from a fan, is someone who not only loves the game, not only, you know, has just been obsessed with it for years. I mean, she's a live feeder. She talks about how she watches the live feeds. Like, she's not just a casual fan. Like, she has been watching the show for the past two decades. She's been live feeding. She is obsessed just like we are. You know,
Dan Giesling fan.
Right, Dan Giesling fan, but she's also really, she understands how to play. Like, I feel like it's like a lot of the time we get like the super fan and it's like we get Frenchy, where it's like, yeah, sure, like, okay, he's a fan of the show, but like, he's not like a fan where it's like he's a fan of the strategy. I feel like he's a fan of like the Twitterverse. I don't know. I just feel like there's a difference. Whereas like, yeah, she's on Twitter, but like, she's on Twitter like all of us are on Twitter, where we like are, you know, talking about the game and all that sort of stuff, but I feel like there's a difference. And so I just absolutely love her. I think she's doing so well. I think that, you know, like we all said, I am a little concerned that, you know, she's not in the majority alliance, which like, I'm actually glad she's not. Thank goodness she's not. Cause then I'd be like annoyed, but like, I'm glad that she's not. But at the same time, it is a little concerning just because like, we need to make sure that she's not only in these small side alliances, that these small side alliances can kind of join together to defeat the major alliance. Like, that's what we need to make sure happens. And I don't want her to just kind of like fade in the background, which I don't think she will. But, you know, and, you know, like, and I said like earlier, like, every conversation she has with somebody, I feel like she makes them a better player too. Like, I mean, like, especially with like Derek X and stuff, she like coaches him as to like, hey, like, I know you're new, like, but she doesn't do it in a condescending way. She does it in like a way where it's like, just like friendly. I don't know. Like, I just love everything that she does. But you know, because we're so early and I don't know what's going to happen, I don't feel like I can really go that high. So I have to give her an 8. But I will say that that's the highest rating I'm giving anybody this week. So it is high. It's just not a 10 high, unfortunately.
That was the perfect reason for me to do it, because she's so full of potential. You know, you start off at an A and then it goes down.
Well, Amon, people in the chat were like, damn it, Amon, now I can't buy her.
Yeah, no, everyone's like, I can't buy her. She's too I can't afford Tiffany now.
She's expensive, okay?
She is only expensive.
Only for the most rich stockholders, okay?
All right,
get your money up.
The audience is with Melissa and myself on this one. They gave her an 8 out of 10, which is very high for the audience, especially this early on. So, all right, let's move on to Travis. Travis, I'll tell you, the audience gave a 2. This was the lowest rating across the board from the audience. I'm going to have to, honestly, I don't know if I'll go as low as a 1 for Travis, but I'll go a 2 as well. I just feel like he has done very little, to do himself any favors here. It's really, you know, he wouldn't be going home if not for a whole host of events that were outside of his control, including Christian winning the wild card competition, Derek winning the veto, and all of that. But he's done so little to prevent himself from being in this spot, and he's done so little to campaign to keep himself around so far. And he is looking like the most likely boot, so he's barely escaping a 1 from me. And it's going to be a 2. Aman, what do you think?
Yeah, I normally give players that are on their way out the door a 1, but I'm not giving anybody down where I put Frenchie, so I'm going to give him a 2. I think, yeah, he's not being very proactive in, you know, getting himself out of the position that he's in. I mean, the fact that he was like, you know, in a huddle, like a hugging huddle with the HOH right before being renommed, it was just so, oh, like, do you know he's about to push you in the block? Like, what are you doing? So it's, yeah, he's in a really rough spot. I mean, there's still the potential that he could, wiggle his way out of it if people decide to create a counter alliance against the Slaughterhouse and take one of the numbers out. Maybe there's a world in which that happens, but that, I don't think he would be the person that would make that happen. It would be somebody like Sarah or Tiffany or Claire.
Yeah, this man should have been like, Derek, I'm not giving you a job unless you use this veto on me. Instead he was like, that would be cool, right?
I guess he just wanted to go back to Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm giving him a 2 as well. I feel like he has potential. I feel like there are some like flickers of like, oh, he knows what's going on. Like he'll be like, wait, don't you think it makes more sense for you like not to use the veto? And like, wait, he'll like have these little like flares of like strategy where you're like, okay, wait, maybe he knows what's going on. And I do think that if he were to stick around, he could pick up. I just think he doesn't know the game, and I think he could pick it up if he stuck around. But I think the issue is that he might just be out the door this week and not even get a chance to really learn the ropes of the game and improve. Because I think he's a smart guy. I just think that he just doesn't know the game. I think he absolutely should have done something more to get Derek not to use the veto. I mean, he kind of just let it happen. He was like, well, that's unfortunate. I wish you wouldn't do it. But okay, it's like, no, you need to do anything that you can possibly do to get your ally, your best friend in the house, to not use the veto. Like, what are you doing? Like, that should have been something. I mean, I think also, like, if Derek X is a little like on the fence about it, like the fact that Travis was so cool with it probably pushed him over the edge to do it. Because I think that if I was like, hey, I might have to do this and it's going to put you in a bad spot, and they were like, it's okay, I'd be like, oh, okay then. But if they pushed back on me and were like, no, please don't do it, please don't do it, I would have second thoughts. I'd have third thoughts, you know? And I think that really should have been his first priority. And then when that didn't happen, I think he needs to kick it into high gear to campaign. I know he's saying he's going to campaign starting tomorrow, but it's like, I get why it's like you don't want to like go too quickly and campaign too early because things can always flip around. But I do think that you got to get started at some point. And I think waiting until the last minute, I don't
like
that.
Who are you scared of? Like, yeah. Frenchie doesn't have a vote.
Like I know a lot of people do that. They're like, wait until the night before, because otherwise you could flip it one way and then the night before it gets flipped again. But it's like, you want to be the last person in their ear. But like, I just feel like I don't like that. I don't like that strategy. I think like, get on it right away, start working people. It doesn't need to be like some big giant house meeting or something, but even just like getting initial seeds planted of like, hey, I should be here for your game. I'm going to be on your side. Like, let's like kind of go out and talk to people and get a lay of the land. Like, he's not doing anything.
I just want the Slaughterhouse to leak. I want it to leak. That's what I want to happen.
I know. Cause I think that if the Slaughterhouse does leak, I think that could be really bad for Alyssa. So I think that Travis does have a chance, and that's exactly why I'm not giving him 1, because even though he hasn't done anything to help himself yet, I think he still has a chance. So, you know, we'll just have to see how the campaigning goes, and that's that.
All right, let's talk about Whitney. Melissa, you can start with Whitney.
You know, she's got herself in a like decent position with, you know, Brent and with, you know, Frenchie and all that. But like, she doesn't have a good position anywhere else. Like, I just feel like nobody else really wants to work with her. I did see her like cuddling with Christian. So I guess that might be a thing. I don't know. Like, I didn't really stick on those feeds because I didn't want to. But I don't really know what she's doing. I'm kind of disappointed in her game so far. I think that she's not really what I expected her to be, unfortunately. But I think at this point, I don't really see a lot of people targeting her. I know her name's been mentioned a couple times, but I feel like people aren't going to like, I don't think she's that big of a threat that people are going to be like, we got to get her out. So yeah, I think I'm just, I think I'm going to go with a 4 for her. Just because, like, I'm a little disappointed.
The audience agrees with you. They gave her a 4 as well. I don't see a lot of potential in Whitney as a player, but she is in a decent spot right now, you know, entrenched within the Slaughterhouse. She also does, for what it's worth, have people outside of the Slaughterhouse as well, including Tiffany, who is a fan of Whitney at the moment. I don't see Whitney going anywhere anytime soon, and that will give her the chance to do some things in the game. So for me, it was a 5 for Whitney. Amon, what do you think?
I gave Whitney a 6 because of the way that she's set up within the Alliance. I think that she's in a better spot than other people in the game. I share a lot of the other concerns that people have. I know a lot of fans are up in arms about some of the comments that she made. I shared those similar comments. I know we've sort of been talking about it ad nauseum this entire week. I hear that. But I think that she's in a, I think because of the, by virtue of the Slaughterhouse, I think that she's just, even if she's not necessarily a key member of the Slaughterhouse, she's still there. But I do think it's interesting though, because I think Tiffany did sort of name drop Whitney in saying that she could potentially put her up next to, who was it, Brent? She's like, she was circling between Whitney.
No, you're right, yeah.
And Alyssa. And she was like, Tiffany was like, oh, I just hope that she would just, you know, not get emotional. I hope that she would just take it as a game. If I wouldn't want her out, but I would put her up. So that's interesting, but nobody else is really putting her name out there. So I think that she's still in a really good spot. So I'll give her a 6.
All right, there you go. Finally, Amon, kick us off here with Xavier.
Xavier, he was an interesting one for me too. I had him at a 7, and I didn't really, throughout this conversation, I didn't really have an inkling to put him up or down. So I think I'll probably just keep him there. I think, yeah, he definitely has like this whole thing with Frenchie going on, where Frenchie just isn't really a big fan of him, but like, oh well, like your French doesn't really have that much power going into next week. And so I think, you know, he's another one of those people that is fairly insulated. He's also another one of those people that I think he's relatively inoffensive. I know that he sort of embarrassed himself a little yesterday with all the flirting that he's been doing. But I still think that people are more pro Xavier than there are anti. He's got the cookout, he's got the Slaughterhouse, he's got the butchers. So I think he's in a relatively good spot, and he's also got the King's Alliance, or King's team rather. I don't think Alyssa would come after. Well, Alyssa can't. Nobody can come after him. That would come after him from the Slaughterhouse. Like Christian can't come after him. Alyssa can't come after him. Sarah can't come after him. She's not even in the Slaughterhouse. So I think that he's pretty well positioned. I do think that winning HOH would be good for him, for his game. It would allow him to really, you know, ingratiate himself and really force people to be pro Xavier. It's like, all right, I got the power now, y'all. So what you want to do? I also just loved his moment after Frenchie left the room to go gather everybody to have that conversation the night before last. That was hilarious. So I'm going to keep him at a 7.
Yeah. I too am at a 7. I, you know, prior to yesterday, I probably would have been up in an 8. But things have been really bad for him from yesterday in terms of people talking about him as a threat, people talking about potentially targeting him. Unfortunately, I do see a scenario where he is targeted as early as next week. I don't think it will happen, but it's not impossible. And because of that, I couldn't possibly go up to an 8 at this point. But I do think he has a lot of potential in this game. He just hopefully won't be focusing too much on Alyssa moving forward, because I listened to this morning's update for, I think, more info on where I am on Xavier and the whole business with Alyssa. But it was not great. Not great. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same as you guys. I'm a 7. I think you're right. If we had rated even just like a day before, I probably would have rated him a lot higher. I feel like his position in the house, or his position in the house has kind of slipped, or the house's view of him has kind of slipped. I think I'm a little worried just because there is a lot more talk than there was before about like possibly targeting him or not wanting to work with him or XYZ. So I am a little nervous for him, which sucks because I absolutely love his cam talks. I think that he's so fun to watch. And I think he's so smart, and I want him to do well. So I'm really hoping that, honestly, and I think if Alyssa leaves this week, I think it'll be good for him. I think then he can kind of get his head back in the game, because he needs to kind of forget her and kind of get back in it. So, I'm really hopeful for him, but I do think he's kind of slipped a little bit just in the past day. So 7.
All right. The audience, a bit lower than us on Xavier. They gave him a 6. So there it is. Those are our ratings. What a night. A bit of a marathon rating session here, but we've got 16 whole players to talk about, and it's our first time talking about it.
And it was a marathon of a first week. So
truly, we're setting the baseline here. There are some other questions to go through very quickly in this survey. But before I get to that, I have seen, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet. There's a clip running around on the internet already of Brent inappropriately touching Hannah. They're doing a toga party. I was watching the clip. He puts his hand, on a place you shouldn't put your hand on another person without consent. From what I can tell, he did not have consent. This is very, honestly, it was pretty upsetting to watch. I was like, whoa. Not pleased.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No. All right. Well, okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's Mr. Charm for you. There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's that charm. Oh, God. Yeah. Not good.
Not good at all.
I guess we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
Probably nothing. But I'd like to see, I'd honestly like to see what Hannah has to say about it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know the context. I haven't really seen it, so I don't know. But, I don't know. It doesn't sound good.
If there is anything to say about it, what I would have to say about it is, regardless of the context, if you do not ask first, then
right. Of course. Yeah.
There's
keep
nothing.
Your hands to yourself. Definitely. I don't know why it's not. I don't know why it's so hard for people. Just keep your hands to yourself, especially when you're on camera. but especially when you're like on camera, like what are you doing?
I've certainly experienced that firsthand, and I am very anti unwanted butt grabs. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right. So here we go. Let's talk through who is your favorite player. I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. So this is not game. This is just general likability. Who's your favorite kind of stuff? And I'm gonna do a little game here. I'm gonna ask Amon and Melissa to guess who is the audience favorite.
Ooh, Tiffany.
Tiffany.
You're both correct. It's Tiffany. Who is the audience's second favorite?
I know Aza was up there.
Maybe Xavier?
I don't think so. I know DX is, I don't think he's second, but I know he's up there. I know that Derek F might have gone down a couple points. So I'm gonna, Claire, I forgot about Claire.
But they didn't rate her high. I thought people would rate Claire a lot higher. So I think she's lower than we think. I think it's either Azza or Xavier.
You're going to have to pick one.
Xavier.
Okay. I'll go Azza. Because
that's what I would put.
It's Azza.
Ah, now it's Xavier.
Amon?
For the third?
Yeah.
I guess that's a fair point to Xavier, but I'm still kind of leaning more towards Claire. I feel like this is like a female driven cast.
Make a call.
So I'm going to go with Claire.
I'm on 3 for 3. It's what? Claire.
Oh my God. Well, now it has to be Xavier. What? Am I the only one who likes Xavier around here with that, guys? This is crazy.
All right, we'll go. We'll
does
go
no
to
one remember his cam talks? I feel like we're forgetting how hilarious he is. Okay, whatever.
I will read more. You're only guessing top three and bottom three because there's too many to go through all the way.
Okay, but is it Xavier?
It is Xavier, but you don't get points for it.
Well, fine, but at least I know I'm not crazy.
It's going to be, yes, Xavier there. I'm going to skip to the bottom three and then I'll fill in the rest here. Who is the, let's see, who is the third least? No, well, who's the least
popular?
Let's
start at the bottom.
Very bottom.
French's got to be the bottom. I'll be so shocked if it's not.
You're both correct. Who is second to last?
Brent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, well,
Brent and then Whitney. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Whitney might be down there even like first and then Brent because of the whole Sandy Hook thing. A lot of people were not happy about that. I want to go with Whitney before Brent.
Melissa is going to take this one. It is Brent.
And then Whitney.
I'm on.
I'm going to go with Whitney, yeah.
Yes. So Amon's going to take this one. 5 points to Melissa's 4, I think, right? Or did Melissa get 3? She might have gotten 3.
I got the first one.
Yeah, I think you got 3 total. Or no, you got 4 because you got all 3 of the others. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, not too bad. All right. Not too bad.
All right, so
I'm getting the vibe of the audience first. You know, I have to like understand. Like, it's only first week.
Have you
by
won
the
any
end,
of these?
It'll
Melissa?
Be every single one. I win every single time. I think you've forgotten. I win all the time, every single time. That's the way it works.
All right, here's the list. It goes: Tiffany, Azza, Claire, Xavier, Derek X, Sarah Beth, Hannah, Kyland, Brittany, Alyssa, Derek F, Christian, Travis, Whitney, Brent.
Wow, Derek F is low.
Yes.
I thought he would drop low, but I didn't think he'd drop that low.
It's all the scheming. People are just not really big fans of it. He's just being very messy.
It's also like, it's a very, like, people love the women of this cast, and he's actively, like, targeting them for weird reasons.
Yeah, he's actually trying to get them out, and also he's in love with Frenchie, which is,
I love that Derek X is 5, though. That makes my heart warm.
All right.
Him and Tiffany, their friendship is really cute. I just think they're so funny together. They like laugh all the time and it's just so fun to watch. I think they're so great.
Mm-hmm. I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week and they rated the episodes 6.6 out of 10, which I feel like that's overly harsh personally. I liked the premiere and I thought Sunday's episode was perfectly fine, if not good.
I feel like
6.6 is just barely over average.
I wasn't impressed with Sunday's episode. I feel like it seemed to me like they were trying to make it look like Frenchie was being really strategic and had like a good plan and that like everything, I don't know, for me, that's the vibe I was getting is they were trying to justify Frankie's, or God, I'm going to call him Frankie all the time.
Frenchie, do you know what I put as my thank you in the survey?
What?
I put, thank you for not shining bright like a Frenchie.
Yeah, because it's like, it's Frenchie, Frankie, and then like Brent, Brett. Like, I feel like I'm just getting all their names wrong. So sorry about that. But yeah, I just felt like they were trying to justify his like nominations and like showing like the one clip available of like Alyssa and Christian like flirting. Like, I don't know. It was just like, I felt like it didn't quite come across like, it didn't get the message across that like this was such a chaotic, crazy, like nonsensical week. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I didn't fully get that. And I know it's hard and I get that they need to like create some sort of narrative, but I felt like they also didn't talk about like the slaughterhouse in the episode and how Frenchie was trying to like create all these giant alliances and bringing people into the alliance and then like kicking them out of it and like all this other stuff. And I get that you can't really do that, but it was just a little like, it made it seem too simple, I think. And I know they have to do that for the audience, but like they could have, I think they could have hammered home more that like Frenchie had promised safety to all these people. And also to even talk, like, I know that they purposefully, it seemed like, didn't talk about the fact that he said he wasn't going to nominate like a minority, but like it did kind of seem like they purposefully like kind of were like, let's just talk about women. And I kind of wish that they had said both, because then it makes it even weirder that he nominated Alyssa and Kai, you know, and it just, I don't know. I feel like they kind of missed the mark on that part, but yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely doing that thing that, you know, some producers will do where they want to be able to protect the people that are on the show, because they, you know, they want to make sure that when he gets out of the house, that by and large, the larger public and the larger fan base aren't on his ass for saying that he wasn't going to nominate a POC and then do it anyway. I do think that it is very disjointed messaging to talk about the women narrative and then not talk about the POC.
Right, like, don't even mention that then, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're only making it harder for Frenchie in the long run, because it's going to get out anyway. There are live feeds. Come on. Like, yes, the majority of the fan base of Big Brother does not watch live feeds, but they're not loud like the people that watch live feeds. So it's going to get out regardless. I sort of felt the same way about the episode, the Sunday's episode, but I sort of understand what they, I mean, aside from the fact that there was a lot of editing that had to take place and they couldn't fit everything in the episode, as far as the showman's angle is concerned and Frankie trying to justify, or Frankie, oh my God, I wasn't even calling him Frankie, yeah, now see? I am. Frenchie's moves getting justified. I think they're doing that for a larger setup, because there was a lot of, I trust Frenchie. Oh, he screwed me over. So I think what they're doing is allowing this to be the major setup for Wednesday's episode, where it all comes crashing down, because we do get to see Frenchie. I think hopefully we're going to be able to see Frenchie break down as well, because he does break down. And so I'm wondering if that was just a good way for them to be like, yeah, let's build him up. And then on Wednesday, let's just bring it all down. So true. We'll see what happens.
You know, something else is that they did include like a comp on Sunday, and I feel like I didn't need that. And I feel like, so that would have made me rate the episode lower. Also, I have to say, like, whoever's running the Big Brother Twitter account, like the official one, is like, you need to like figure out, like, know your audience. Like, whoever's on big, like, Twitter for Big Brother is not rooting for Brent and saying how much we love Brent. And also, like, talking about, like, the bromance and how much we love the bromance between Frenchie and Brent. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't you understand that you're tweeting to, like, the people who are, like, very anti that? Like, maybe read the tweets that have been going on to understand your audience a little better. It was very bizarre. I was like, who do they think they're, like, reaching out to? This isn't Facebook. Like, I don't know. I didn't understand what the heck they were doing. So, yeah.
All right. Well, for comparison here, in Big Brother Canada 9, the first week episodes were rated a 5.2. And Big Brother 22 All-Stars 2, the first week's episodes were given a 6.2. So it was still higher than the previous two seasons of Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US. I asked the audience to rate the feeds this week, and the feeds were given an 8.4,
as they should.
Fire, yeah, feeds.
It was so good. I feel like I haven't seen feeds this good in a long time. I was so glued. It was just like any feed you sometimes had to go back to and like watch what was on the other cameras, because it was like something was going on there too at the exact same time that something big was going on there. Usually you can kind of like, okay, well, this is where they're just talking, like, you know, friendship talk, and here's where they're talking actual game. But like, I was having to like switch back and forth. Oh, it was so good. So good. It truly
reminded me of why I love this show and I love this community. Just, it was a very communal experience, experiencing these feeds with everybody else. I just love the fact that I could wake up at 7 a.m. and there were people that were still live tweeting everything that's going on. It's like, Eddie, it's like you put your phone down for an hour and you come back and you're like, what is going on? I was having so much fun. This was a great week.
It was so good. Yeah, I feel like, you know, for the past couple of seasons, there have been times where I've been like, okay, I'm watching these feeds because I like am going to talk about it on the podcast. And so I'm going to watch it. But it wasn't like I'm watching these feeds because I literally can't stop. And I really am excited to watch this. And I feel like this week it's been like all about like, oh, this is for me and I'm very interested in this and I want to watch this and I'm very excited about it. And also I'm excited to talk about it versus mm-hmm. just like, okay, I know I'm going to talk about this. So I want to be like up to date. It's just been like fun. And then, oh yeah. And I also get to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, for comparison, Big Brother Canada 9's first week of feeds were given a 6.3, considerably lower. Big Brother 22's first week of feeds, interestingly, given a 6.9. So, weirdly, Big Brother 22 seemed to get off to a better start than even Big Brother Canada 9, but Big Brother 23 off to a much better start than both of them. And then how would you rate this season as a whole so far? An 8, even. That's compared to a 6.6 from Big Brother Canada 9 and wow. a 7.3 for Big Brother 22. Weren't we so optimistic at that time?
Yeah, we were.
So I did this differently. I also asked the audience to rate the competitions this week. And they gave the competitions a 6.8. We don't really have a frame of reference for that, but I feel like pretty decent. And I would have to agree. I think pretty decent competitions. Nothing stood out to me as particularly unfair or not entertaining. So I think 6.8 is actually pretty close to where I would be on the competitions this week. Not bad. I also asked for a rating this time instead of just a sort of scale of 1 to 100. Instead, I just made it a scale of 1 to 10 with decimals because that's how I do everything else. So why not? I asked the audience to rate the twists. The team twist got a 5.7. Kind of like, eh. I asked them to rate the double or nothing twist that Frenchie turned down, that option for safety. The audience gave it a 4.5. Kind of, and then the wild card competition is a 5.6. Back to like,
I like the wild card competition. I would have loved to have played it. It looks so fun.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah, it was fine. I just feel like it, for me, that was my critique of the Sunday episode is that it took up too much time and we didn't get enough time for mm-hmm. the
They always
stuff.
Take up too much time. It's always just like, oh, come on. I don't know. I just, like, I'm not a comp person.
Three people were competing in it. And it was like, right. Still taking this on? I asked, who is the best person for Frenchie to have targeted for his game? 38% say Travis. 27% say Brent. I don't think you're talking about his game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they're referring to his game. I think they're talking about who they want to target, but yeah. Okay.
And then 12%.
I think maybe at
Claire.
The beginning of the week. I think maybe at the beginning of the week, had he not talked to Brent and had they not formed their bromance that we
well,
all
sure,
love.
But given the fact that like Brent is the person he can connect with the most, like it would have been a mistake to target him even if he hadn't talked to him. It would have been a mistake not to talk to him. So Claire's in third place with 12%. I feel like maybe he could have targeted Claire and he probably could have and gotten away with it and put a big dent in some of the biggest competition he potentially has. Travis, not exactly a huge competition. I also asked the audience, should Derek X have used the veto on Kyland? Big question of the week. I feel like at the beginning of this week or a few days ago, it was more leaning toward people saying, yes, he should use it. However, at this point, the audience says 60% no, he should not have used it. He should have not used that veto. But that's still 40% said yes. It's still a bit of a divisive issue there. Then I asked, who do you want to be evicted this week? And 63% say Travis. 37% say Alyssa. And then finally, who do you want to win HOH next week? The audience agrees with me on this one. They want Tiffany to win, or Claire or Derek X.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I would like any three of those guys to win.
Yeah.
I love a Derek X moment. I would love it.
Aza also had some votes there. So, and I'm okay with that. Cause I feel like Tiffany's already been getting to Aza like, Brent is our target. Do we need to nominate Derek X as a pawn? I don't think mm-hmm. so.
And Claire. Claire will say the same thing. So yeah, I think it'll work out fine.
All right. Well, over 3 hours in, and let Ooh. Me tell you, I am not comfortable in this empty place with no proper seats. And I don't even have a mat to stand on. My feet hurt, guys. I've been transitioning from standing to sitting in this very uncomfortable chair. But We made it through together. We had some fun along the way. So thank you guys. Any final thoughts on what we have seen this week so far, Aman?
I'm like everyone else. I'm super excited to watch the rest of the season. I think we're in for a really good one. I hope that we get like a slight reprieve in week two. I still want fun feeds though. I'm glad that Frenchie is no longer in control. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Melissa, final thoughts?
Yeah, just great start to the season. I hope it, you know, keeps its momentum. I've had so much fun already. And so, you know, I'm just interested to see what happens when we get a new HOH. So we'll just have to see.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on our first roundtable of the season. I hope you enjoyed it. The Stockwatch, the realitystockwatch.com. Go there, sign in, enter the season, whatever you need to do. The shares should be live. The site should be live. I mean, it may, you know, crash if you all go there once, but, the market will be open until Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern when the episode starts. So you can go there, realitystockwatch.com. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity. You will be given an amount of money, around $200, to buy whatever shares you want and whatever players you want. And then if you do that before Thursday night, then this time next week, when we rate the players again, the prices will be adjusted according to those new ratings, and you will either make or lose money on the players that you bought, and you will have a chance to sell or buy more, whatever it is you want to do there. I will try to stream on Twitch. That is the goal on Thursday. If you need any advice or help with any of this, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Go there, find me, ask me any questions you need, and I will answer them, of course, to the best of my ability. You can also find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn, where I'll tweet out whatever it is I'm doing. Melissa, where can people find you?
You can find me on all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's.
3 of them. Aman, how about you?
You can find me at Aman Admin on all social media as well. Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, I do it all.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining us. I'm going to be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on whatever happened today and whatever will happen tonight on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. Tomorrow night, of course, we will have the episode recap of the Wednesday night episode, and then Thursday we'll be live for to recap the eviction of the first eviction of Big Brother 23. So stay tuned for all of that. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel and the podcast feed and whatever else you need to be for this podcast. Go and be a patron as well. We did a Q&A show on Friday. Rob did the slop yesterday. So those are patron shows that you can access if you become a patron of Rob's podcast. So go ahead and do that as well. There's so many things for you to do. I'm giving you homework. Come back with your homework done. Don't be one of those people that comes in and you're like, hey, audience member, did you do your homework? And you're like, no. Don't be that person.
Oh my God. Taryn is definitely that kid that like asked the teacher to collect the homework when they forgot to collect the homework.
I was the person doing the homework while it was being collected. And then by the time it got to me, I was like, boom, got it. All right. That's what I got for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I'll see you next time.